Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We are here tonight again, and good to be with you tonight. Hope you're all doing good. Talk about some cool things, I think, tonight. All right, here we go. A second. All right. Welcome, everybody. We're here, and good to have you tonight. Good to be with you. It is Tuesday night, and we're going to be doing whatever we get going on, I guess, whatever happens. Let the Lord lead us and guide us into all truth and learn some things. And I have to, one thing I do want to talk about a little bit, if I can do that with you. I want to go to the scripture here in just a moment. Anyway, if you're calling for the first time tonight, on Wednesdays we prophesy over every person. We speak and pray over every person. On Wednesdays, that tomorrow, you can call in 15 minutes early at 319-527-6027 and make sure you click 1 on your phone pad when it says welcome to Blog. As soon as it says welcome to Blog Talk Radio, click 1 on your phone pad. As soon as it starts the thing, click 1 and that gets you in there and you can get in early or if you want to come in late, either way, it doesn't matter. But there you go. On Wednesday nights, we do nothing other than a little teaching at first, and then we go into praying for everybody for, 2 to 3 hours every Wednesday night. And we go from caller to caller. We don't spend a lot of time, talking and that kind of thing. All right. So kind of thing we started doing a couple of years ago, whatever it was. And we're kind of excited about it. So, hallelujah. So if you like prayer, like particularly prophetic prayer, we love to do it. And it's, you don't have to join anything, be a part of anything, do anything. I can just call in and when I'll ask you, I'll call it part of your number, 555-2222. And who is this and what state are you from? You give me your first name, what state you're from, and that's it. So you don't have to give your real name if you don't want to. All right. That way we get the chance to minister to people and give them freedom to, be private if they want. So that's what we do. Every Wednesday night, for sure. All right. Let's see here. Hang on a second. All right. So we have other hosts that do shows. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, most of the time. And you can call in on those nights also early, 7 o'clock on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then on Fridays, we have shows on 9 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All right, so there you go. All right, we're here to serve you, pray for you, believe God with you, whatever you need, and we love doing it, so give us a call and let us know how you're doing. We want to talk to you, pray for you. Maybe even listen to some of your opinions on some things, very possible. I don't guarantee all that, but at least a little bit of it, yeah. All right. Let's talk about some things I've been wanting to share a little bit about here. First of all, you heard that Nathaniel Rothschild is now the head of his family. His father passed away, Jacob. Rothschild passed away yesterday, and so the man we call the Antichrist will now be in position to rule his family well, at least that part of the family, his father's wealth. It could be very interesting. The timing of that is really amazing, that the Gaza war is kind of like, they're fighting over maybe a possible peace treaty and that kind of thing, and kind of see where that's going to go. Kind of tells us kind of where we're at, I believe. We don't know exactly, right? But we know there's a lot of things happening that are definitely pointing to We are at the end of the end times. Sounds crazy, I know. Sounds unbelievable, I know. But it's certainly looking like it. So we need to at least consider it and take a look at it and believe God to, you know, speak to you about what you need to do to prepare, not be unprepared, but to prepare. So it's really important to be prepared. Could you imagine going to war with not knowing how to shoot a gun or you know, drive a, you know, a tank or something, or shoot a tank, you know? Could you imagine going there and not being trained for that? The special warfare, not just any warfare, but the special warfare. You know, this is going to be a special time. You're going to need to know, have a special training. You know, you have, in other words, you have to really be ready. If you're not ready, you're going to be unready. If you're unready, then it's going to be sad for all those who are not ready. So that's what we're trying to help people do, to get prepared and get ready for, you know, the most difficult of times ever, and how God is with us and he's all powerful. It's not about how powerful we are as the church. It's about how powerful he is. That's one thing we've got to remember and focus in on this, is, as I try to do and do often, is that it's not about how powerful I am as far as how much faith I got and that kind of thing. It is more of, you know, how powerful our God is, and are we yielded to him, truly yielded to him? Yeah, and that's what I think, difficult times, you know, being attacked and all kind of things. I think that's what it does. It prepares you. It prepares you. You're being prepared. And if you can know what you're being prepared for, instead of just thinking, oh, well, when a real trouble starts, we're all going to get out of here anyway, then you're not going to be prepared. Some people just really believe, oh, somehow or other, it's just all going to work out. It's all going to just pan out. You're going to be fine. But, you know, it's like going into surgery, not being, you know, you know how to, you know what a scalpel is, you know what a heartbeat is, you know how to cut somebody open, but you know how to work on the heart. You know, are you prepared? And if you're not, it's not going to be good. So we need to make sure that we're not deceived and let the enemy. The worst thing that's going to happen to a lot of these people that are pre-tribbers, especially even mid-tribbers, is that they're going to be caught thinking they're going to be out of the worst of it, and they're going to find themselves right in the middle of it and not knowing what to do. They're going to panic. And those who teach that, you know, are going to be responsible for that. I'd rather be over-prepared than under-prepared anytime. So, but it's not just going to work out, and it's not just going to be up, because if you're in your mind, you think you're not going to have to go through, you know, any difficult times. You know, you can prepare to a certain degree, but you're not going to prepare with all your heart and mind, with the fear and reverence of God. You're going to be preparing with, I don't have to worry too much about it. So that's really what's going to happen. It's going to be sad, and I have a job, my personal job as a prophet, as a shepherd of the sheep and of the flock, to, you know, y'all's blood off my hands, right? So that's what we try to do. All right, tonight I want to talk just for a minute about, maybe a minute or two, about Philippians. Let's look at this just for a second. There's a couple of different things I want to talk about, but this is one. Charles came on the show last night. We talked a little bit about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, that scripture is found in Philippians 2. And Philippians 2, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And then we're going to read the rest of it a little bit later, too. But here's a scripture that people look at and they go, well, number one, they don't realize it, but trying to say, if you listen to their interpretation, they're trying to say that you work to get your salvation, basically. Even though they'll say, I don't believe that, they'll say you work to get your salvation and you're working to keep it. So let me tell you something. If you didn't work to get your salvation, which you didn't and nobody did, it's freely given through grace by faith, or, you know, however you want to say it, you know, to understand that it's freely given. You don't work for any of it. There's no work involved in your born-again experience of salvation. So what does that mean, then? Aren't there works of faith? Yeah, works. We have works of faith. We learn and we grow, and we learn how to work. The works of faith are not just doing good things, but they are doing things that only what you see your Father do. In other words, we're learning how to obey the Lord, and when you do that, you get rewards for that. And the reward is that you get more of God to get more of God's kingdom in the earth and to bless you at the same time. But it's not just for yourself, this little you, the reward. It is for the kingdom of God. And God rewards you, and then it increases his kingdom, and it increases you. And you increase together with it, right? The kingdom doesn't increase without you increasing. That's just the way it is. Because true rewards come from doing what God says, not just doing good things. Right? Thank God for people who do nice things and good things for you. It's really cool. And so how do you know? You don't really always know. If you have to find out for yourself, and that's what the scripture says. Let me get it up here on my computer so I can read it a little bit differently here. Let me go here in a second. Go to Philippians 2 in case you haven't, in case you just came on tonight. We're going to go to talk about Philippians 2 tonight. It's a really, really cool scripture about works and what it all means, and do we work to keep our salvation? And I'm going to share that with you. We're going to go word for word on scripture. We're going to go to the New King James Version just to kind of stay in the middle. And we'll do other versions if you like. All right. I'm going to go to chapter 2. All right, I'm going to go to verse 12. I want you to read this with me here. I'm going to kind of explain some things. I think it's kind of cool. I'm so glad we got into this last night a little bit. People need to explain to them, I think. I had it explained to me by the Holy Spirit. It says, therefore, my beloved, I'm with the brethren now, I'm not talking about the heathen. I'm with my beloved, as you have always obeyed. I love that. Have always obeyed. Whoa. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. Now watch this. For it is God who works in you both to do and to will and to do for his good pleasure. So there's so much packed into that. We may not even get off of that because that's so powerful. Number one, he talks about obedient people. People that are obedient. Obedient people are, like in verse 13, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So he's working, for it is God who works in you. So God is, faith is God working in you and through you, right? Verse 13, for it is God who works in you. Once you're saved, once you're born again, God starts working in you. Right, who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. All right, so he works in you to do something, and that's the works of faith. And those works of faith have rewards to them. And like I said, God doesn't have you do things just so you can get blessed. Do we get blessed? Absolutely. But the main thing he's doing here is that he's expanding his kingdom. So when you obey him, not just do anything, but for it is God who works in you. So God's not going to have you doing something that's not his will and just have a bunch of good works as filthy rags, right? Which is, T.D. Jakes said one time, is a minstrel rag. That's what he said. That's pretty rough. But that's what he said. I mean, trying to show how it is. And so for it is God who works. So when God's working through you, through yourself, once you're born again, God begins to work through you. And if you have issues and problems, if you do, we all do. We have things that God is dealing with in our life, whether you're impatient, whether you get anxiety and stressed out really easy and freak out and, you know, whatever the thing you have, you know, maybe anxiety attacks or different things that you go through, don't have the faith to believe for your finances. You say you do, but yet you don't, but yet you're failing financially. You're always having to get money from people and get money from this and get money from that. And you know, it's not really working for you. And so what are we going to need to do? We need to look at the truth, the real truth here, and find out what's going on. All right, so he's talking verse 12 to the beloved brethren. Your salvation, he said, work out your own salvation. So in other words, salvation is what? Being born again. Right? So when you are born again, you are born again and you still have issues. So what happens? is you take the salvation you've received. Your spirit man is seated with Christ in heavenly places, and you begin to let, with the work of the Holy Spirit, through your spirit man, who's been totally recreated in the image and likeness of God, doesn't need any more recreating, doesn't need any more work to change. It's been changed through and through. A whole new creation in your spirit man. It is your mind and your body, your mind, will, and emotions in your body that needs to be changed, right? So what does it mean? Well, some people think that it says here, work out your salvation, work out your own salvation. They think it means you got to work to keep your salvation. That's not what it said. It's not about working to keep anything. All right? There is no work to keep your salvation because you didn't work to get it. How can you work to keep it? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I use this as a thing. As soon as you do enough sin, you lose your salvation because you got to work your salvation. And basically, what they're saying is, in my opinion, is that they're saying that you have to work to get your salvation and you have to work to keep it. Right, which is a total, absolute lie all the way around. Because you never entered any rest. He says, work out the salvation, your own salvation. So you have salvation. You're born again. You know Christ as your Savior. You've been recreated, and you're a new person. And then it says that salvation that you have, you start working on the areas of your life that need help with the reverence and awe of God. Right? It says, for it is God, verse 13, for it is God who works in you. To do what? To change you. For what? For his good pleasure. To make you look good and make him look good. Like, look what I did with this person. Y'all used to know her like this or him like this. Now look at what I've done. Pleasure. Oh, it's all about good pleasure. Pleasure. God is a pleasure-seeking person, and he wants to use you, change you, take your salvation that you have. You don't have to work to keep your salvation. That's what people do with it. They say, work to keep your salvation. That's what they really say. And it has nothing. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, if you got saved, you're born again. Now you begin to work things out in your life. That's what salvation is about. It's not just about going to heaven. It's about connecting with God's spirit, being recreated, and then in your spirit man, and then letting your mind, will, emotions, and your body begin to receive the power of God to change. And when you do that, it just changes everything. All right. It says, do all things without complaining, verse 14, and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shall shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So let's break this down just a little bit. Okay, so we just realized that working out your salvation has nothing to do with working to keep it. That's not what it says. It's not even close to that. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God whose works. He's not working to help you keep your salvation. He's working in you both to do his will and to have good pleasure in you and through you. He's not working to keep your salvation. You don't have to keep your salvation. Once you get your salvation, and it's truly salvation from God Almighty of the Holy Spirit, you don't need to work to keep it. And that's what they say about this. This is absolutely perversion of the gospel. It's not that interpretation is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said anyone who preaches that is a curse. Or in other words, they don't have the blessing on them. But you know why? Because people live in fear all the time. Oh, I got to work. I got to do some work to keep my salvation. That's not what it says. All right. Are y'all seeing this? All right. It says, but now much more in my presence, work out your salvation. So he said, you're saved. And now that salvation you have, you're working on developing yourself to be good pleasure to God. And then it goes to verse 14. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Whoa, that's a work God wants. So if you're complaining too much, you know, and disputing, let's look at the word disputing, see what disputing means. Let's look up dispute. I'm doing this all on the computer. I circle the word, and then I look at it, and it says dictionary. A disagreement, argument, or debate, right? So he's not talking about debating scripture here, because Paul the Apostle debated scripture, and Paul was not a carnal person. Debating scripture is like an attorney debating it, you know, trying to win a case, not fighting with people, but debating. This kind of debating is the reason it uses the word disputing is because you're always disputing everything. You know, you go in a circle, complaining and disputing, and God knows, you know, if we're not careful, we can all get caught up in this. So that's what he's saying. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing. In other words, this is what God is working through you. He's teaching you. He's working in you. The salvation that you receive, salvation, you receive the cleansing power of the blood and the Holy Spirit, and now that salvation is now beginning to work in you to make you a good, pleasing person to God. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Not just any good thing, it's the good pleasure of God. Do all things about complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless. Now, oh my God, if you're not blameless, then you're going to hell. That's not what it's saying. It's saying blameless. He's talking blameless here. Your spirit man is blameless. Once you're born again, your spirit man is blameless. He who is born of God sinneth not. So we know we sin, because it says a little later that we still sin. But what's it talking about? He's separating the spirit of man out that's been born again from your soul, your mind, will, and emotion, your soul, and your body. So what's he saying here? So once your spirit man gets born again, then you begin to become blameless in your mind. Blameless meaning sometimes we do things and we get blamed by God for it, because, you know, God goes, you messed that up. You're disputing and complaining, and therefore you're not blameless. He wants us to be blameless. Blameless doesn't mean you're nasty, dirty, and you're going to go to hell because you're not blameless. Blameless is becoming harmless. Blameless, the word says, blameless and harmless. Children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So what's he saying? He's saying once you get born again, then God begins to work. You're not working to keep your salvation, which is what that doctrine does. It is not saying that even close to it. It's saying you're working to learn how to not complain and do disputing everything and fighting everybody so that you may be blameless. He's talking to children. He said that you'll be the blameless, harmless children of God. So if you haven't worked out everything in blameless and harmless, it doesn't mean you're not a child of God. It's saying that he wants you to be a blameless, harmless child of God. Doesn't mean that if you aren't blameless and you're messing up or you're doing harm, doesn't mean you're not a child of God. He's just saying, I want to identify you here as a what kind of child of God you are. You've seen those people. Some people, you know, they're saved, but man, they're just like messing up all the time. They're worried about everything, fretting about everything, not really believing God of everything. They get anxiety and they're freaking out and they're going, oh my God, what about this? And then they get down in depression and self-pity and all the things that I think we've all dealt with to a certain degree. Right? So what happens? What are you trying to say? He's trying to say, hey, stop the complaining. Start being thankful. Remember we talked a few days ago about how Jesus was a thankful person because he was, everything increased and multiplied. He broke the bread, fed the 5,000 because he said, Father, I thank you. I thank you. Not complaining and disputing, but complaining, but thanking God and praising God, right, for the fact that he didn't have enough. Instead of complaining that he had enough bread, he said, Father, I thank you. You know I don't have enough bread here, but I thank you that you can do something with it. And in that sense, in that moment, Jesus was becoming, he was blameless when he did that. He was harmless. He was doing God's will and being, he was multiplying and increasing and being a blessing. God was able to work in him both to will and to do his good pleasure. What was the good pleasure? To feed 5,000 men, plus the women and children, you know, 20, 30,000 people. What an amazing thing that was. One meal was like total miraculous, man. I mean, it was amazing. So what did he do? He didn't complain and get this, oh, God, I don't, you never bring me enough. I never have enough. I just never. And he says, no, I'm never going to. You know, every time we got here in the middle of the desert, we got enough. He did just the opposite. Right, he gave thanks. You know, you guys know it. I do this too, just like you do. Like today, every day, just about, almost every day. You know, something, I ask God to help me with something. Hopefully I don't forget to ask him every time, but when I do ask him and I'm aware that I need your help on this, even though it's simple, he shows me these ways to do it. And every time I go, thank you, God, that is amazing. You are amazing. Thankful, right, instead of complaining and disputing. Which, you know, we're all capable of doing in a heartbeat. So we have to always seek the Lord, everything in prayer and thanksgiving. Everything in prayer and in thanksgiving. Make your request known. How? with prayer and thanksgiving. Wow, amazing. He's saying you're children of God and you're not blameless, but that verse 15, that you may become blameless. And yet he's talking to the children of God, and yet they're not blameless, and they're still harmful. Verse 14, do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless. And he's saying to the children of God. He's not talking about, you know, okay, now you lost your salvation, you're on your way to hell, so you better get back right with God and work yourself back and keep working and keeping it. That's not what he's saying. He's saying once you got your salvation, you got it, and then you begin to work it into your life to learn to be thankful and to give God the praise, right, so that you become blameless. So he's talking to children of God saying you're not blameless right now, and you're still doing harmful things to yourself, but guess what? You can be harmless, blameless children of God without fault. Imagine somebody telling you that they were without fault. Ooh, that'd be like, what did you just say to me? You're out without fault. It's hard to imagine that, but that's what he says. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked, not way far away from, I will make a table for you in the midst of your enemy. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse, bunch of perversion going on, generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So the more that we let God's work go from into every area of our life and we work it out, we're not working to keep our salvation. We didn't work to get it, and you're not going to work to keep it. You can't work to keep your salvation. It's a free gift. It's like somebody giving you something for free, give you a free car, and you keep saying, hey, man, yeah, I'm going to come over to your house and mow your yard because you know what? I feel like I owe you for this. But I'm going to clean your house. You say, hey, just chill out, man. I got my house clean. I don't need my yard mowed. I got some day. Just chill out, man. Relax. It's free, dude. You don't owe me nothing. Nothing. I was trying to pay for it, right? Because I got to work to keep my salvation. Nothing to do with that whatsoever. Right? So we're learning. I had to learn. I used to think the other way around. I did. And God has had to wash my brain of some of that vain stuff, I believe. And it's taking time. People are trying to work every day to keep their salvation. They'll quote this. I've had them do it to me. And I've probably done that time. You got to keep your salvation, you know. It says right there, you got to work it. Well, that has nothing to do with it. Yeah, you have it. You have it. Your own, work out your own salvation. In other words, you have it. You're not trying to get it. You're not trying to work for it. You're working it out into your life. That's why you get saved in the first place, born again, is so that you have that power in you to change the rest of you, your soul, your mind, will, emotions, your body. Yeah, so that's really what it is. All right, you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse, again, it's amazing, crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So the more we overcome, the more we shine. Holding fast to the word of life, verse 16, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Now, Paul's saying, okay, the work I've done, the preaching I've done, the gospel I've given you, which is not, you have to work to keep your salvation. If you're not working to keep it, you're going to lose it. That's not what he's saying. It's just the opposite of that. He said, you got it, and now that you got it, you're going to work it out into the rest of your life so that you can shine bright and be a blessing. Amen? Shine bright and be a blessing. Yeah. All right. So there you go tonight. I think I'm going to stop right there for a moment. And I love it when we talk about the Word of God, you know, get into it a little bit. I'm hoping this is helping you a little bit, that we're called light bearers, and the whole purpose of letting this light that is in you shine into every area of your life that has maybe a little bit of light, but not enough. Maybe that light that is in you is really darkness, and it's not really the Holy Spirit light, but your own. You're doing your own thing, and yet you're born again. You're not blameless, right? You're blameable, but blameable does not mean the flammables of hell. Blameless means when you're blameless, it means, you know, that you become blameless. So you're working, God is working in you that you become blameless harmless children of God without fault. See, the whole goal is to work without fault in the midst of a bunch of crooked stuff going on. And I could talk about some of that tonight if I had a minute. Some of the stuff I'm going through right now, oh, my God, the crooked, I mean, oh, my God. And let me tell you something, friend. It is, it's on the roll. It's on the roll. These people do not know what they're messing with as far as, if everything is upright, it would be, you know, just normal. But when you have some crooked things going on, and there's some crooked things going on, and they're probably listening, so I'm letting them know. You know, some really crooked things happening, and we're going to go in and make the crooked way straight by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, another great event in the life of, you know, Randy Chandler and whoever you are, whatever thing you got going on. So we can shine bright. When these people that have done crooked things, whether they, how they slipped into it, anybody can slip into doing things. You know, you get unforgiveness, you get bitter, you get greedy, and you start doing things. Before you know it, you stepped into this thing, and you've gotten so deep into it, it's like, man, if anybody finds out what I've done, when you finally wake up and realize, if anybody finds out what I've done, this is going to be bad. And that is exactly what is going to happen. We're going to first deal with it privately, I've been dealing with some things privately. You go privately, you get text, you know, on the phone call, whatever. Deal with things privately, and then you take, you know, you deal with it a different way. You bring other things into it, other people. And then if they still don't want to deal with it, then eventually you bring it and you expose it to the community. That's what Jesus said to do. Not what I said or what Paul said, but what Jesus said to do on how we deal with things in the church. You got to give people a chance to repent, to get right. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm giving you plenty of chances to get this right because I already know what's happened. It's really obvious. Really, really obvious. They're so blinded, they actually think that you can't see it. And I don't know if it's just the gift of God. I don't know if it's just regular. I don't know if anybody can see it. Maybe everybody can see it. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's very obvious. And today I finally talked to the attorney. They're attorneys, and it's not looking good for them at all, and they play some games, it's very easy to see. So, isn't this exciting? I love this stuff, y'all. I love going in when God tells me to, going in and He starts showing me this and showing me that supernaturally, you know, giving me words and information. You know, dreams, different things, start showing me stuff, what's going on behind closed doors. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And then the strategy of when you apply that revelation is important, too. You can't just flop it all out there at one time. You have to, you know, let it be revealed. Time goes by, you might say. As time goes by, we're going to fly away. Yeah, they're gonna be flying away because they're going to be embarrassed. They're going to want to fly away because, yeah. Anyway, it's going to be really cool. I'll tell you as we go along, and when I can, I'll tell you everything. It's going to be a great story. You know, I'm not saying the battle's not over, but by any means, but we're finally getting somewhere. I got an attorney situation going on, and, you know, I tried not to have to get an attorney, and I started working with them, trying to get them to work with me, and they weren't doing it, so I had to do that, and we're going to whoop up. That's all I can tell you. I'm going to whoop up. You know, and I don't care if it costs me all the money that I have coming to me. That's already mine. You know, documentation already mine. I don't care if it takes every dollar of that to do it, to strip it down to the bare nub and to reveal what really went on so that all can see. And all the lies they told will be exposed, and they'll never do it again, at least not easily. That's for sure. But they really don't know. And the thing is just about God, it's like it becomes unfair because when God opens your eyes to something and then supernaturally gives you confirmation on a regular basis out of their own mouth, it's just amazing. It's like you can start seeing where people get blinded by things. They're so blinded they can't see that they're telling you the answer to the to what you need to know without even knowing they're doing it. You know, and you're going like, I'm going like, didn't you know you just said that? And they don't even know what they just said. I don't know if it's because the key the ability to see into those words, what in between them, or what's, I don't know. I can't explain it. All I know is it's just mind-boggling. And then I have dreams, and God shows me dreams about things, and then I test it out and work it and play with it and mess with it until I find out that it is truly good for sure, and then we go after it all the way. It's kind of a work in process. Oh, my God. It's so exciting. See, they think that I'm desperate. They think that I'm just going to go, oh, here's the sale of the house, and here's your so-and-so thousand, and you can just walk away for nothing. And because they thought it had it all set up. They just thought I was going to go nab that. Oh, yeah, man, oh, my God, I can need that money. I need that money. They're finding out that it ain't anything like they think. Oh, they're fixing to find out that it ain't anything like they think. And are they ever in for a little fun ride? And they're going to be laughing all the way. Not of mockery, but of just holding the enemy in derision or mockery, because it's really just not fair. That's the sad part about it, is when God's showing you things, it just literally becomes unfair for them. And yet they just keep, I've already gone through the process for days of being, I mean, major all day long stuff, and doing things and saying stuff and being nice about it all, but being very blunt. And people don't know what to do with you when you're blunt and nice. They can't quite figure that one out. Like, how come he's not cussing and accusing us of this and that, which I could accuse and with evidence, and I'm just not doing it, I just like, okay, well, thank you very much, and then I just tell them the blunt truth. This is the way it is, and this is what's happened. I see this. I got documentation here. I'll send them pictures and photos and text and stuff. And some of you know how I do it, if you've had to deal with me a little bit yourself, and with different issues, and I'm prepared and ready. I've become very organized, amazingly organized and structured. It's like God has me preparing for stuff that I don't even know I'm going to quite be into. But why am I getting so obsessed with this, with organizing this and getting this here and that there? And then I find out that the whole time it was the Holy Ghost leading me, because I was fixing to go to battle. And then when I start flipping them the information, like that quick, they're going like, it's like, how did you know we're going to do that? How did you know that? How did you do this so fast? It's just not fair for them. I would feel sorry for them if they weren't being such donkeys. I mean, major donkey is a nice word. And I know they don't mean to be evil, but it sure looks like that's what it's turned out to be. But we'll see. It could be just not quite evil, but just maybe, we'll come up with a good word for it. Anyway, I'm not complaining, disputing, vanity, but I do, like an attorney, we do break it down and get evidence and proof, and then whoever has the best evidence and proof backs the other person in the corner, so to speak, and then I offer them a deal, and they don't take the deal, and then we go after everything and more. We may go after everything and more. That's what we're looking at right now, is going after everything for sure. And more. I've got some numbers in my head and some information and with documentation that they don't even know that I have. It's really going to be interesting to watch. And we'll see how long it goes on. Okay, that's kind of what's up with all that. Let's take callers tonight. Hallelujah. All right. So, and those people that are involved have been involved with them in different ways, from my family in the wrong ways. It's not going to be good for them either, especially those that in my ministry stuff, friends, my friend, ministry friends. It's going to be difficult. They're going to find out that these people lie like dogs and are very good at it. And they put just enough good information together with a major lie to make things look really good, and they're pretty good at it, unless you have your eyes open. Then it's just like, then you see their strategy before they even do it. You know where they're going before they go there. It's I don't know what's happened with my brain or the Holy Spirit together with my brain. I'm not sure what's going on, but it's like I'm clicking so fast, man, with information and how to do things and what to do. I mean, it's totally unusual, especially for me. It's just been amazing. I'm amazed at God already. It's just mind-boggling and amazing. And these are just people, and the thing is that they don't have the same weaponry that I have, and that in that sense, it's just not fair. And in that sense, I would feel sorry for them, like I said, if it wasn't for the debauchery and the uncleanness of folks. It's just getting nasty, herb by the minute. I mean, one of them accused me of things right off the bat. You know, I texted them for, 15 minutes, and they'd come back with, yeah, but you blah, blah, blah. And then the other one took about 3 days before, I guess they got wore down, I don't know. And now they're, coming back. They're going like, that way you can always tell when they're extremely intimidated, right, when they start accusing you. Even if some of it's halfway true, it doesn't matter. It's like, oh, you're sorry. Yeah. They're going like, yeah, interesting, very interesting. So I'm sharing this with you for the battles maybe you're going through, the struggles you're going through with family, with friends, with business. Listen, friend, if you'll do things right and practice what I tell you to document things, literally document them, even though I won't need that, you will. Try to document everything. Like when I talked to the attorney today, I let him know I'm recording this whole conversation. All right, so everything you say has been recorded. And then all the attorney's assistants, and I tell them, I'm going to record this conversation. Okay, and so then I let them know right up front. There's no deception or anything. It's totally right up front. And they have just, when I can tell you what the freaking out that they've been doing already, because they know that they're somehow, I don't know what they thought they were dealing with. I don't know if my family told them that I was like, whatever. I don't know what they told them. I have no proof of that yet. But obviously they didn't give them the right answers. Because I don't think they know who they're dealing with as far as the Holy Ghost with me, When the Holy Ghost is with you and your brain is working better, really, really, really better in some ways. Yeah. It's like it's almost like you could become very arrogant quickly. I can see that now. I can see why Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, because he was so smart. And I'm not smart. I'm not saying I'm smart, but especially when he got the Holy Ghost with his brain that he had. Oh, the Holy Ghost with your brain. So now that my brain is growing a little bit, and I'm maybe a 16th of what Paul is, just when he got started, it's just like, you think like an attorney, like he was a lawyer, basically. So you just think completely different. Your brain goes, oh, it's amazing, y'all. I don't even understand. Man, it's starting to amaze me. I'm starting to be amazed, really amazed. And give the glory to God, and the fact that the credit to God leading me how to get my brain activated better and better and better. It's really cool. So anyway, rejoice with me if you would. And let's take callers. All right, nobody has their hand up, so I guess that means we're going to have an early night tonight, since I'm stopping early. But get that hand up there if you want to visit, you want to talk, share something, whatever you got going on. We would love to hear your – oh, there we go. Get your hand up there. If I already talked to you before, I may not take your hand at first. Let's go ahead and take this caller here, 803-991. All right, we'll go ahead and take this call. All right, 803-991. Can my talk to you, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Angela. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Angela. What is going on? How are you?
Nothing much going on. How are you doing? I'm listening to your story with what you're dealing with. And I heard you say something the other day when you were talking about your family, because I had to go sign paperwork with my family the other day with my dad's still his estate and stuff. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I had to plug you in there because my ear. Okay. So now you had to deal back up just a little bit, if you don't mind, and say that, repeat that to me for me a little bit.
Yeah. When I heard you talking last, you was telling part of your story how your brothers and sisters was, in that struggle you all are in right now and stuff. But I had to sign a couple of weeks ago with my family. We all had to sign our to get the house and stuff. Something happens. My dad already passed, so you know, what was left went to him and my mom and us and stuff. And certain ones were put in charge of the estate. You know, we all have a part in it, but, you know, they're two primary over it. So that was pretty interesting.
Interesting.
That,
oh, so you just went.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And this one, I talked to the attorney today, and, of course, what I do is I record everything because I know I'm not going to be able to remember the details. I'm a very detailed person, but I know mm-hmm. I'm not going to. So I told the attorney I'm going to record our conversation so that I can, you know, go back and listen to it. And he said, in this case, which I knew already because I've scanned through all of the documents, my dad had a will. They probated the will. My mom had a will, but they did never probate it, which means they never did, you know, I don't understand. He told me what probate. I said, what is probate? I didn't know what probate meant. I said, what does that mean? And he explained it to me. Anyway, so then they had to make an affidavit. Then they made an affidavit. But the whole time, there was never anybody designated to run anything. That's what he told me today.
Okay.
What do you call that, an heir executive? Executor?
I know.
What do you want to call
that? Yeah, that sounds right. Mm-hmm.
What do you call it?
Like, I think what you're saying is right, because my brother and my sister, which I'm the oldest, but they're younger, but that's who she left in charge. So, yeah, it's just like a, you know, we all got a part, but they are like the, like I said, executor or something, I guess you call it.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Sure.
So the executor, right, so they're, in this case, and I just found this out for sure today because I kept looking for my sister told me she was in control. That's where her words. I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going like, okay, I mean, you know, I'm not against that.
Right.
You want to be in control? You can have it. But I kept going. I went through. So I finally got them to give me the documents, and it took a little while for them to do that because I think they knew once I knew what the documents said that I would find out that she wasn't in control of anything. Yeah,
right.
There was no executor. All three of us. This is for people out there. We're talking about. I'm not trying to expose my family. We're just talking about stuff. I've talked about my family before, how that they don't like me for different reasons, and they probably had some good reasons, I'm sure, but most of it is not. But so what they've done is they've tried to. She kept telling me she was in control, because I told her one day. I said, I think according to what I'm getting here is that you've been fired. That's what I told her by text. You have been fired. And she says, no, I'm in control, just like that. I literally told her that, I wasn't being ugly. I was just being very blunt, you know. I think you've been fired or laid off, whichever one you want to call it. I said, both things. And she said, no, I'm in control. And so I started reading more and more and more and then getting more documents and finding out she was, that all three of us were equal in everything. There was no executor head of any, that she was the oldest. That's why everybody expected her. I expected her to be in control. I did. And so when she said that, I'm going like, yeah, but it, you know, you're not doing that. You're really making some bad mistakes because you're not getting my signature on business that you're doing. And that's been over 3 or 4 years that they never got my signature for anything that they did a lot of stuff. Yeah. So they said they were going to send me information. They asked for my address. It's when we were at the last studio, that address, that's the address that I gave them. We're going to send you stuff from the lawyer. And I waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. I gave it a year. I said, well, maybe, you know, I got busy. And then the Lord just said, you know, give it to me. So I did. And because they never contacted me. And I really wasn't interested in fighting over any of it. I knew there was a good little batch of money in there from past inheritances of my grandfathers and who had a barbecue business in Amarillo, Texas that was very, very powerful business. That was just one of the inheritances. So there were several inheritances that have been passed through there.
Right.
Yeah, so today the attorney told me, he tried to talk me into, well, why don't you just sue her later? I said, I'm not trying to sue anybody. They always bring up suing. I said, I'm not trying to sue anybody. You know, why? I don't know why. I didn't get too wordy with him. I said, I'm not trying to sue anybody. All I want is to find out where all the money went.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want. I want to know where all the money went. Because I know they never show. I kept asking them, show me the bank account and show me where. Because they kept saying, oh, you owe us money. Because, you know, how siblings, you know, we're siblings. We're family. So we get real straight. Oh, you owe me for the, I took care of all for the, and I pay for this and I pay for that. I said, that's great. And we'll take care of you. But can you please just give me the bank accounts and all of the insurance policies that they had? They had a, my mom and dad were very taking care of people. They took care of themselves very well and were very covered on everything. And I said, you know, disability policies and all that. And I said, just show it to me. I mean, can't you just get it to me? And they wouldn't ever get this. Like, we don't even know where it's at, Randy. I'm going like, yeah, somebody has to know where those accounts are, because that's a bunch of bull. And so the attorney today, I finally got the attorney today, and I've been working on this thing hard for like, what, a week now? Something like that. And several days. And So what happened was, where was I going to go with that? So he told me today that there was no executor, and that he did confirm to me, and he's on their side, right? He did confirm to me that they have made a lot of decisions wrongfully. And I said, well, I already know that, but thank you for telling me, because I've read the document, and once I found out there was no executor, and then today you confirmed to me that there is no executor of the will, that we're all three equally apart. And I said, look at all the things they've done without me, which means they tried to sell the house without me. And then when they went to the table to actually sell it and get the money, they couldn't do it, so they had to contact me then. Wow. They had to. It was so cool, man. Like God said, yeah, you think you're not going to get by with this. I'm taking care of my boy, even though I already gave up on it. I totally yielded. And literally, I mean, I literally gave it over. And like they will, the evidence shows I didn't try to. It went on for 3 to 4 years, and not one time did I, where's my money, or where's my stuff, or where's mom and dad's stuff? I never mentioned it one time until a few days ago. They told me we can't sell the house without your approval. I'm going like, okay, I didn't even know what that meant. Like, huh? You can't sell the house without approval? Wow. And so I got involved, right? The Lord said, now go sick them, Randy. Sick them. Go after it. Find out. Now they need you. Now they try to make a move without you. So it's been exciting, man. I have been and the attorney today confirmed to me that, and he won't even admit it, but that I'm winning big time.
Yeah, that sounds like a friend of mine. She dealt with the same thing, but she actually just walked away because it was so, I guess for her, it was overwhelming, so to speak, you know, because someone kind of stole her inheritance, really. It was her sister-in-law. But, she did some fancy things with the paperwork, signing her name, stuff that she didn't even sign. So, but she's got away with it. Actually, I guess you wouldn't mind me telling this part, but the house, I mean, that movie Gone with the Wind, that movie, that house that they had in that movie, that was her parents' house. That movie Gone with the Wind. So it was big. It was a very big thing. And Scarlett O'Hara in Georgia. Yeah. So So it was big time. But she, you know, she walked away from it because she didn't want to, you know, deal with the.
She didn't know. Let me ask you something. Those curtains that were in the movie when she was going to make herself a dress. You remember that part? And she took the curtain and made a dress.
The DVD. Okay.
What I want to ask is, I want those curtains if she'll sell them to me, if she still has them.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. So anyway, that's amazing. So go ahead and tell me what you were saying. I before I interrupted you.
Well, she was like you. She was saying how she didn't know someone had signed her signature to the paperwork. Well, it was a sister-in-law, but when the lawyer couldn't find out, the lawyer was in on it. And so when she went to talk to him saying, you know, she was not aware that her name was signed, saying she was giving up her rights to the house. And so the lawyer, he pretty much kind of choked. He knew he was busted, but she didn't really pursue it because it was, I guess she was hitting so many walls with trying to get lawyers to go back and redo the, you know, look through the paperwork or something you have to do to, you know, when it's been that amount of time has passed, you know, because at the time when her parents passed, she said that, her sister-in-law was kind of running things, and she was she was at a point where she had just had, you know, her babies and stuff, and so she wasn't really focusing in on what was going on.
If the spirit of God was not with me in it, I would feel the same way. It's overwhelming. But the thing is that may be different, and I don't know what her situation was, but the thing that may be different is that I gave it over to God in the very beginning, because I told the attorney today, I said, I have proof of everything. I'm a very documentative person. And I said, I can prove to you that she asked me for the address to send the lawyer information. Mm-hmm. And she never sent me anything. And he says, yeah, he tells me this. He says, yeah, she never told us anything either. So I'm going like, So the thing is smelling stinking. I already smelled the stink on it. You can smell the stink on it already. But if it wasn't for the Lord, Angela, I wouldn't be able to do it either, because now the signature, they couldn't sign the signature. One of the things they did on the affidavit, if anybody knows what an affidavit is, I'm just finding out a lot of this stuff. An affidavit is something that they got together with witnesses that knew my mom and dad, said that, you know, what they had and what they owned, and they didn't owe a bunch of money, and they were all paid up and all that. So they made an affidavit. And so in the affidavit, they have to give the names of each of the three children, which is me, my sister, and my brother, right? They have to give the names and their addresses. Because it's a legal document. Mm-hmm. So if I go to court, I have to prove that I live at that address and that's who I am, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the affidavit is. So if I sued somebody or I had to go to court over it, I have to go prove this affidavit. And so the information – now, watch this. The only information that got messed up between the three kids was my information. Instead of 20 – y'all heard me talk about my address, right, 2024? Remember, it's 2024, and I was talking with somebody one night on the show. I said, man, I don't know, 2024 coming up sounds so familiar about 2024? I couldn't put it together. Oh, yeah, I live at 2024. And so what they did, instead of putting 2024 in there, they put 2424. Which was totally, and then they have to sign that this was true, that this information is true. They swear to it. And so I got them right there. I said, I started going through this stuff, and the Lord said, so I sent that to him. I said, look right there. I said, y'all falsified that affidavit.
Wow.
And I didn't tell them. I don't say it out loud yet, though they can feel me. I'm making sure of that you falsified that information. I don't know if you did it on purpose or by accident. Either way, it is now null and void as of now. And everything she did, even though she wasn't even in control, is null and void. I'm talking like an attorney, and I'm not even near an attorney at all.
Yeah, you've done your homework.
I do my homework. Wow. I do, and especially if I'm really interested in something, you know, and God is with me. Of course, it's always because God is with me.
Right.
Then he takes me through, and he tells me what to read, and he shows me what to look at, and I don't waste my time with stuff that's not important, or at least that's what I think. I don't think I do that, but I probably do, but a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so he shows me stuff. And so by the time I got through revealing everything that I knew and everything that I saw and the lies that they had said, like she was in control, I told him today, I said, she told me she was in control. She lied. Well, maybe she didn't know she was in control.
Now,
there was never anything that said she was in control of anything. And yet, when I forced her in a corner, as nicely as I could, being my sister, I forced her in a corner, and she came out yelling, "I'm in control." I said, "Nah, you've been fired." I told her she was fired, and you've been laid off. That's it for you. And so I hit her with that, and then I'm kind of the Lord just lets me be blunt and to the point, and yet I walk away saying, "Man, I love you. Talk to you later. You know, we're gonna get to work this thing out." And just sign the contract, Randy, so everybody can get their money. Just sign the contract. Yeah, I told the attorney today, I'm not going to sign anything. It's up this week. It's up 2 days from now. It'll be 2 days. And if you don't sign it, they can sue you, which I also nullified that today, too. I said, that's even nullified. They can't sue my estate or me. The only person they can sue is Deb. My sister, my wonderful sister, she's really a good person. She just really got cut. I said she's they can sue her, but they can't sue any of us or the estate because none of us did it. She did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the attorney's like going, yeah, that's basically He didn't say they could sue her, but they said, yeah, you're right. I'm going, yeah, I know I'm right, because mm-hmm. I've been studying this, and God is with me. I never told him God was with me, but
right.
So, yeah, it's really been amazing. So it's been a blast. Anyway, go ahead.
That is. So you have y'all been disputing this for a while with your family? That's been going on for...
This happened, I don't know, remember when I came on the show, whenever I came mm-hmm. on the show and talked about it? When was that?
Right.
Was that...
My actual Facebook work.
Pardon me?
Probably about maybe 2 weeks ago. It was about 2 weeks.
I don't think quite that much.
I know you talked about it
maybe
again.
Maybe a week. A week. I think a week and a half, something like that. Yeah. So it's been going on about a week and a half, pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason is that I think it's been more like about a week. That's about it. And because mm-hmm. they contacted me and they said we can't sell the house without you, and then I found out. I had the attorney send me all the contracts, and they made a contract without my name being even any room for my name really on there. And I'm going mm-hmm. like, I told my sister, I said, you try to sell it without me. Oh, no, I didn't. Well, it's right there. I get the proof. It's amazing how they'll tell stories, you know. Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah,
and it's right there.
You busted her.
So I did. I busted her as nicely as I could. You know, just trying to be blunt. I said, I love you. You're my sister. You know that. And When we were kids, you didn't want to fight with her physically because she would whoop you. That girl was tough, man. You don't want to work with Deb, man. She was like, woo, I stay away from that girl when it comes to fighting. Of course, I was 2 years younger, but she'd whoop me up, man. But now, so, yeah, so we busted them. Now today, the attorney looks bad right now. And if you're listening, Jeff, you know, his name is Jeff. The attorney, I said, mm-hmm. you know, we're gonna dig it all up, my brother, and it's not looking good for you right now, sir, because it looks like you got some shady stuff going on here. It looks like, and I'm not saying that is yet, but it's looking like some under the table stuff is going on. What they did is they said they had the house, had to sell the house for $165,000. That house. In the area that it's in, is worth at least $250,000. At least, it's a very immaculate brick home, very nice, right across the street from the school. Or, you know, very nice. It's a brick home area on the corner lot. I sent pictures to somebody on it. It's absolutely a beautiful home, 2 bedrooms,
right.
But huge. Because they bought it and they built it when they were older. My mom and dad had very good taste. My mom had excellent taste in things, and she had a taste for nice things, and so my dad, you know, made sure she got it. And that house, I'm probably going to send pictures out to everybody. I've already sent them out to somebody because I'm trying to get some help on some things. But it's a very 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 nice house, very high quality, 2 bedroom, but huge 2 bedroom,
right?
Really huge 2 bedroom,
right.
So it's very nice. Yeah, and the house is still at least for $200,000. So what they did, and I don't know, I don't have the facts, the documented facts on this yet, although I'm working on it, is they said they selling the house for $165,000, and I checked and found out that was way too cheap, and some of the houses are pieces of junk are selling for $165,000, $180,000. So I'm going like, something's wrong with that. And in the same area, the same town, everything.
Right.
And so kind of find out that then I talked to the attorney today, and the attorney was talking. So these people that are buying the house, Randy, they are just the nicest. I don't know if he's kin to them or just really, really good friends with them. And so I'm thinking the whole time there's something wrong with his language, and he's so sweet on these people, and he's the attorney, right, working on this case.
Okay.
And he's got special, little feelings for them. And this is this lady, you know, Randy, I said, you know what? I'm thinking I don't really care about that right now. You know, all I care about is finding out what they did with all that money that they said they didn't have. You know, where all those bank accounts went. I said, Jeff, that's all I want. That's all I want. And it's not about suing anybody. I don't want to sue anybody. I don't want to do anything. But we will deal with it. And so I think that it's a possibility that for $165,000, when it's at least worth $250,000, at least.
Right.
At least. And and so maybe a little money under the table with his little sweet little friend that you know, his family friend that he likes, that he's telling that he's making sure the house gets sold to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So it sounds like possibly that there's a little bit of $40,000, $50,000 going under the table for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even for my sister, it's a possibility. Now I don't really for sure. I'm gonna have to prove it, which I now had to get an attorney, and so I will come after them with, you know, like they're gonna wish they'd have never. If they did that, if they did, I already know what they've done is wrong. There's no question. Right. Their motives look completely, without me approving anything else, I got enough proof to prove that their motives were completely evil or bad, selfish and evil, and they took money. Mm-hmm. Now she's confessing to me that she gave money, $40,000 to my brother, you know, without my approval, without me even knowing anything about it. She just passed out all this money. And my mom and dad's house was full. My mom had high-quality taste, like I said. My mother's and father's house was full of furniture that was extremely high-quality furniture. She had plates. Right. She had nice stuff, very nice stuff, very nice stuff. My mom had Christmas stuff. My mom had at Christmas time, you went in there, and it was like walking through the most beautiful city of Christmas time. I mean, she has spent thousands of dollars on some of the most beautiful stuff you'd ever seen in your life. And Christmas was a big thing at our house. And so anyway, so where did all that stuff go? That's at least, you know, if you discounted the cost of that, you're looking at least with everything, the furniture and everything, at least $500,000, at least. At least.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they didn't give you any part, but they had cash.
Are you kidding me? They blessed me with a shotgun. I didn't tell you all that. They did. They came to Dallas.
And now you're firing shots.
I think they just wanted me to shoot myself, as I think what the hint was that was. And literally, we met at the restaurant. This is literally the truth. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. My dad, we used to go hunting all the time, you know, quail hunting, pheasant hunting. Around the area I lived, they were everywhere, you know. So we had two, my dad had a couple of really good shotguns and, you know, BB guns and .22s and pistols and different things, you know, because we went hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we met at the restaurant, and my brother says, come on out to the car, Randy. I got something for you from Dad. I'm going like, oh, boy, what's this going to be? And he hands me this, I think it's an 18 gauge shotgun. And he handed it to me like, he said this, I thought they were just like, you know, being friendly at first. And,
right.
And I realized that's all I ever got. Honest to God, never got
really?
A thing, not even a card saying, how did you like your shotgun for your inheritance? Literally nothing like that. Even just the shotgun.
Wow.
I still have the shotgun, by the way. It has been a trip. And see, the amazing thing is, I think what happened is, Angela, that the Lord had me kind of just yielded over. I didn't even ask for the shotgun. I did ask, where's the 22? I love that 22. It's a 22 rifle. I said, where's the 22 go? Well, I gave that to my grandson. No, I gave it to my son. He gave it to his son. I'm going, okay. Because he lives out in the country. I'm going, okay. But I kept thinking, why didn't they ask me about any of this? You know, I thought I was an heir. And I just—I mean, I was just guessing. I didn't even know any legal terminology about it. I've never been through this before. You know, I said, "Well, yeah, I kind of like that." She said, "Yeah, we gave it to—I don't want to miss his name, but he gave it, my brother gave it to his son." I'm going like, "Okay, that's cool. That's nice. You know, thanks for the shotgun, by the way." And so, you know, literally that was it. And so I just kept thinking. You know, they asked for my address a couple of times actually, and I said I gave it to them every time. I said, you know. We're going to send some this time, Randy, we promise. They never sent any legal documentation at all. And then the lawyer today, as I said earlier, confessed to me that they didn't even talk to him about me and give him my information. Because attorney, that this attorney knows that I'm coming after him too.
Yeah, he's probably
I'm coming after him.
Yeah.
So he's already protecting himself. In fact, their whole team, the last few days, I called one day, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this. I know it's hard to believe. I called and I talked. I always talk to this lady. Her name's Peggy. Wonderful person. Wonderful lady. And she's mm-hmm. taking care of this stuff. And so when I started showing her what I knew and what I found out, and I don't know if she was surprised or not. I really don't know. And the second day I called her, and I prep them for what I'm going to call for, right? I'll send documents and papers mm-hmm. and information, and I put this girl with that thing. And I'll email them, and I'll say, okay, Peggy, I'm going to – here's all the documentation I want you to look at, and I got some questions I need you to answer. And mm-hmm. and so, you know, please be prepared for it. So I called her up, right I think yesterday. Yes, I called her yesterday. I go, hey, Peg, how you doing? And she was so freaked out that she was, like, repeating – she was repeating her words. She goes, yeah, I made that. Anyway. And then she caught herself, and watch this, and this is all on video, on audio. She caught herself, and she went, man, I just repeated myself three times. And she was freaking out. And this is a very controlled, right. wonderful person. She's mm-hmm. a wonderful person. I know she is. I've met her before. She's a nice person. But she knows, they all know, that what they've done may cost them a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Wow.
And
well.
Yeah, and what's happening is my sister is ratting on people that she's talked to, ministry people, my friends. And she's going to mm-hmm. ratted on a little bit of them already and talking to them behind my back, and which is fine. I mean, you know, that's why I talk about Judas, you know, off and on, because I know a little bit about mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the cool right. thing about it is that God is blessing me in the midst of all of it.
Yes, he is.
Literally.
Yes,
it's truly amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Because you try to do the right thing, and you wasn't trying to be greedy and selfish. So,
I never even asked for anything. Nice. I never asked for one thing. Not one thing. Mm-hmm. But they brought the shotgun, you know. Because I just, honest to God, God said, I'm your inheritance. That's what he told me. I talked about this on the show
right.
many times. I'm mm-hmm. your inheritance. And so I thought, well, maybe that's what God's trying to say, is that he'd rather give me his inheritance. So maybe I'm not going to get any inheritance from my parents. And you know what? To me, that was okay, because if God's going to bless me, he's going to bless me more mm-hmm. than any inheritance. And I've even said this on the show before. He's going to bless me better than any inheritance could come from a human being. So
that's
I settled
right.
it with that. I literally offered it to mm-hmm. God, just like that. And it was done. And so what right. happened is now it's all because I gave it to God. Now they are in deep trouble, because it's all going to be exposed. And I'm a kind of person, when I start digging in, I go at mm-hmm. it, and I do it mercilessly as far as looking for the information. I don't pull any punches. I'm nice, but I'm very blunt to the point. And I say, I need this information, and I need it now. And sometimes I say as soon as possible. And
right,
if
right.
you don't get it to me, I will come after it. And so they dilly-dally mm-hmm. around a little bit, because they think that I'm not going to get it. They think I'm not going to get an attorney, because I don't use attorneys. I have mm-hmm. rights to powerful. I have rights to powerful people. I've helped people mm-hmm. in the ministry wise. I've helped market people make some business people make some good money through the market gift mm-hmm. that God gave me. And,
right.
and they owe me, but I never asked them. Listen, I've never asked them for one nickel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One nickel.
Well.
And well, I
wow.
did. I did one time talk to some market people. I said, because I got mad. The first time it happened, and I made them money. They didn't. I kept waiting for them to, like, you know, say thank you, and send me mm-hmm. a $100 offering or something like that. I really did. I have to be honest with you. I might have been a little bit greedy on that one. They were making some money, and
right.
I kept thinking, you know, so. I finally text one of them one day. I got to be totally honest about all this before God. And I did email him and text or called him. I said, hey, man, how come you guys, you know, aren't, you know, sending me an offering or something? I mean, I was just real blunt with them. And they said, oh, no, my God. Randy, because I think they thought that I was doing the market thing, you know, and I wasn't. I just gave them the information.
Right.
And they thought that I was taking the same information and doing it myself. So I think
mm-hmm.
they were truly pure in their thought. They thought I was making money off of it, which I did not. God
right.
would not allow me.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
so a couple of guys sent me some money, and then afterwards the Lord said, don't ever do that again.
Mm.
I went, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, so I wasn't ugly or rude or anything. I just said, you know, hey, you guys just make the money freely. I mean, you can't, like, you know, send some money to my ministry? You know, I did say that. So,
right.
But after that was the last right. time. And all the other times, so people owe me, you know, in the natural realm, they would owe me big favors. But I never
mm-hmm.
asked them for one thing. So I have access
right.
to, I could have access to attorneys, all kinds of things, if I pulled the strings that they would truly, like Paul the Apostle, he said, you know, you guys owe me your life. Because I preached the gospel to you, all got born. Paul the Apostle literally said that. You owe me your life. And
mm-hmm.
I'm your father. And he was very blunt with him. And so I have the right to that, though I've never taken it other than that one time. And I felt bad
right.
about that and never did it again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a total yeah. pure truth.
Right. right.
Woo!
You know, when you first said shotgun, the character that popped into my head, I hadn't thought about this character in years. Sammy Sam, he has a shotgun. That cartoon, I don't know if you watched Bugs Bunny, but back in the day, Sammy, when you said 22, I don't know why he popped in my head. The little cartoon character, he would have his gun.
Yeah.
I think that's his name, Sammy Sam.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, yeah. Did he like
yeah.
have a big mustache or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's him, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Angry little
Oh, he was
yeah.
cool, man.
Shotgun.
He was cool.
yeah.
Yeah. I wanted the 22, but he already gave it here without my permission, right? He gives. See, all this stuff was like when it's your families, you know, like we were raised with those things, and when Dad passed, they were supposed to divide it up between all of us, not pass it out to their children and say, we better get Brandy something. Let's give him a shotgun, you know. And it's like I'm talking about literally the furniture, the plates, the dishes, the Christmas stuff alone. I mean, I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about nice stuff, pictures,
right.
you know, chairs. I mean, every you name it, everything. At least $500,000 worth of stuff just
wow.
for that. And I never
mm-hmm.
even was asked. They asked me to come look at some furniture one time. It had already been picked through. So you can come in and it's been picked through. But you know, you're welcome to come look at it. And, I'm going like,
right,
okay,
right.
you know. And I just never did go. I just never did. It's about an 8-hour drive. And I thought, yeah, I need to go down there and go through that stuff, man. And something
mm-hmm.
in me just says, give it away, Ray. Just give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. And so I never told them I was giving it away to them. I never said, Lord,
right.
I don't say anything. Just do it to me. So I did. And I never contacted them about anything, about wanting something. And so... now it's coming back on them. And when I find out, which I'm going to, for the first time today, they told me they could get me some account. And I'm sure they're going to try to hold back on that because the money that was in those
mm-hmm.
that they somehow spread around to the family or however they've done it. I don't know how they've done it because I haven't seen it yet. It's going to
mm-hmm.
amount to, I think, you know, for me, a pretty penny. So we're going to mm-hmm. definitely go after that. As far as, you know, finding out about it, and I'm sure it's already all been spent. So my deal right now is that house is probably worth at least $250,000. And so what I'm thinking about making the deal right now is just letting them give me the house without them getting anything
mm-hmm.
from it. And right. and then put all the furniture and everything back in the house. yeah. Fill the house back up with furniture. And then I just may move in it for a while and do my studio thing from there. So I don't know. But that's
mm-hmm.
kind of what I'm looking at. So in case you're listening, and they do listen.
Right,
so,
yeah.
You know, we have a little business meeting right here. But so that's kind of what's up. And instead of – and I'm trying to get them to – I'm trying to tell them, you know, if you'll go ahead and just make that deal, then I won't even get an attorney, my attorney that I have now, to go after you guys and find out what all you stole from me.
Mm.
Really
yeah.
What all you taking?
Right.
What all I caught? I said you looking like a bunch of thieves. That's where are you? I said somebody's looking like a thief. I don't know who it is. I don't know who the person is, but somebody's looking like a real thief and a liar.
Oh, you up and say, man, here's your portion of the account. Never included you.
Never, not
he
once.
A...
And they wouldn't have done that, and they wouldn't even have been involved me in the house had they not been able to sell it without my signature. And so,
mm-hmm.
but here's the thing. Is that there was never an executor. Tanisha said it's called an estate executor. There never was
okay.
an estate executor, you know, chosen. Deb was never chosen to be the. That's what the attorney told me today. He said, Randy, there was never an estate executor. I'm going like, what? I didn't see any in the paperwork, but I just thought maybe it was hidden somewhere or something, you know, because Deb said she was in control. And then when I told her she was fired, I told her she was fired, I think, like 2 or 3 times. And I said, what they call it is, I even told her today when I finally, you know, as I do my research and find, I said, they call it impeachment. Now, I found out that they call it impeachment. I said, you are therefore now impeached. I sent that to her today. Wow. You know, and of course, later she got mad at me, told me I was a bully and stuff. I said, no, I'm just telling you the official language of what they call it so you can be ready for it. You're fixing to be impeached. You are impeached right now. I said, you're impeached. And sure enough, the attorney called me today because they talk about all that stuff behind, you know, when I call and they all talk about, oh, he said this and he said that and he said, send me a text. Mm-hmm. They all talk about it. So when I talk, so when the attorney called me today, finally, never talked to him until today, after a week of just haggling and going around at it,
right.
He called me today and he admitted that they had no authority to do what they did. So he said, here's what he said. He said, okay, Randy, well, man, you know, let's say you sue your sister. I said, I'm not going to sue my sister. I don't plan on doing it. He said, but if you can sue her, you can, by the time you spend money on getting an attorney and doing all that and suing her and finding out if she did take that money, she said, why don't you just sign the deal and let's just get this over with and now you all get some money. I said, you know why I don't want to sell and I'm not going to sign it? It's because that's the only leverage that I have against them is the house.
Right.
Because that they can't take. And I can also, if I choose to, can go after every bit of what is mine and maybe damages for being a thief and a liar, if indeed that does prove out to be true.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So wow. That's what I've been dealing with, y'all.
Yeah.
Woo!
Wow. So you're the middle child. It's three of you. You're the middle.
I'm the middle.
Son. Yeah.
Yeah. How many of you guys got in here?
It's 9 of us. I'm number 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's a lot. Cool.
Yeah.
I was one of the big families, but we never got. Mom stopped at 3, so whatever.
Yeah, that's, well, we had everyone just signed. It was no drama, I guess, like, you know, what you have to deal with. And nobody's, you know. Everybody's satisfied, so it's not like a big deal or anything. But,
right.
But yeah, I guess you got money like that involved. You know, you have a lot of way, way bigger estate and money involved. So it's always when money's involved, it's always gets dirtier. You know, kind of.
The thing is, when somebody like in this case, I'm not being. You know, and I'm not saying you're saying I'm being dirty, but. It only got dirty because it was already dirty in my case. I'm talking about my case. You're right, it does get dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, it was on my part. I was totally clean because I did nothing other than receive the shotgun they gave me. I never even asked for that. And this is all documented. I told the attorney that I'm going to send you all the documentation I have on this. It's proved that what I'm telling you is exactly right. And I didn't say it to him then, but I'm going to come after you and all of you. If you don't settle what I'm asking for, I will come after you and we will take you down as far as expose you because it's so obvious that you did the wrong and that nobody corrected her. And so because of that, whoever is accountable is going to be in big trouble unless you guys just go ahead and settle out. I will not dig into all your stuff and find out how much of a thief you were, if indeed you did steal much. So I just said, you know, I'm willing to just, you know, make a deal here. And what happened was for 3 or 4 years, I never asked for anything, never did anything, never questioned them about anything. Just said, I trust you guys. Oh, we're going to do this to the house and that to the house. I said, okay. Let me know if you need me. And that was it.
Right.
And so never asked my approval for anything. And then because I thought Deb, see, here's the thing. That I thought my sister was the executor. Just automatically,
right.
That's usually the way it is, right?
Yeah.
It's almost always like that. They appoint one. It's usually the older child.
Right.
And I just, in my mind, Angela, thought that was the, so what choice do I have anyway? you know, really, other than that she needs to be asking me stuff, and she didn't. But now I found out that they didn't even have that. That was big.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that's pretty big. She made herself executor. I guess she had her own paperwork.
Yeah. I'm in control. I got that on text, I think twice. Because I kind of backed her in the corner one day and said, yeah, I think you're fired now. And, you know, what I'm seeing is that I don't see you as being, because I was trying to get her to show me where you're in control at. So I said, no, you're not in control. You're trying to get her to say, okay, well, here's a document that says I'm in control, because there never was one. And I didn't know that. And I kept waiting. So I backed her in the corner. And I said, well, you're fired. You've been laid off. You're impeached. And she says, no, I'm in control. And she never did show me. I said, well, according to the documents I've seen. And so now I know why she never brought one out, because there wasn't one.
Right.
And she was in control.
Wow.
If I wasn't made for this stuff, I would probably be miserable, but I'm actually just having a blast.
Yeah.
And all
yeah,
I'm
have
doing,
it very well.
Being kind to them, but very blunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because some people, I don't know, they would be really irate. Like even with my friend, she said that when she was making a threat, kind of like, well, that's a threat to the lawyer who drew up the paperwork for the person who forged her name, how the other lawyers that she contacted, they didn't want to touch it. They didn't want to touch the paperwork after they, but she had somewhat evidence too, but, you know, and then the people like you were saying with the lady being so nervous, same thing with her situation. The guy and the lawyer, they was nervous when they actually realized this person did not sign, it wasn't her signature. Someone forged her signature on the paperwork to sell the house. And they were real nervous about it.
She should have went after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what
happens
is sometimes the attorneys get together and say, you know, okay, we're going to work with you because we'll want you to cover us sometime when we have a situation.
Right.
So they'll just, nobody will take on the case because they're all covering each other. The attorneys cover themselves.
Yep.
Like
the
Bible talks about how the shepherds, you know, feed themselves and don't feed anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what she was getting, the runaround. No one wanted to go back and reopen.
You get the runaround. The thing that I did was, and of course, it's not done yet. Like I said, I just talked to the attorney today, and they're really nice people. I mean, truly nice people, down to earth people. Farwell, Texas, is a little bit town. We were all raised there, you know, and we were just, you know, our high school class had like 35 people in it. You know, they're small. Football, baseball, basketball. You played all the sports. It was a close knit town in many ways. But and they're good people. But the thing is, if they've done what it definitely looks like that they've done, and if the attorney has taken some under the table money, if that's true, right now I'm highly suspicious of him because of as he talked to me today, extremely emotionally friendly toward these people, you know. And as an attorney, you know, you have to be careful that. At least to the client, so you're not sitting there showing favoritism towards somebody, because it makes you it automatically makes you think, you know, there's a possible under the table stuff going on here, because the house was lowered, you know $60,000, probably at least $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you said they were
so who's getting
it?
That money? Yeah, and
right.
and here's the hey, watch this. Yeah, here's the thing that really got me today. He said, yeah, and she's got the cash. Like, that was going to tempt me to make the decision to go, okay, I take the money. You know, I told him, I said, yeah, they found out today cash doesn't mess with me. You know, she's got cash, Randy. And I started thinking later, yeah, she's got cash all right, and she might be slipping you a little under the table. I didn't say that, but, you know, that's what it's starting to might look like, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you're saying they put the house on the market for $165,000?
No, they don't have it on the market for $165,000. They said they sold it for $165,000. It's on the market for $190,000.
Okay.
It's on the market for $190,000, and that's even low for that, because you look at some piece of junk houses, and I know those houses in that town.
Right.
I live there all
mm-hmm.
my life. And I know those houses that they're selling, and they sell one that's a piece of junk for $185,000. A piece of junk. A brick house with a piece of junk brick house. The yard's bad. It's just cheap-looking thing. My mom and dad's, I'm telling you, my mom and dad's house is eloquent. Not some cheap brick home, you know, like I've lived in before, like I would live in. I didn't even live in a brick home. My house was not even that nice. So it's immaculate on the inside. It is had a sunken in living room, the doors, the windows. I mean, it's all just my mom and dad made a small house. It's not that small, but a two bedroom instead of a five bedroom. They made two bedrooms, but very big living room, kitchen for family outing when people come, you know, and entertainment place. And so, right across from the school, you know, easy to sell. School houses that are next to the school, you know, people want to move in there, even though it's only a two bedroom. That's only makes it difficult to be in a two bedroom. But you don't lower the price, you know, $60,000-$70,000, you know, for any reason. Maybe $30,000, but not. So it's something fishy going on. And Brother Chandler, speaking to, by the grace of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will be mercifully merciful in our investigation. And when we find out what's going on, then we can give the mercy, if we choose to, on how much we want to give of that. Like if I take all their money, if I decide to take everything, then like Joseph, because I tried to talk about this the other night when I first talked about it, is that looking at the Joseph story, you're familiar with the Joseph story. When Joseph said, what you brothers did to me was evil, but what God did, he meant it for good. He worked it out for good. But he still told them what they did was evil, right? He told them that. But I forgive you. I love you. And so when they finally showed up, after Joseph finally got lifted up and he was running everything, they showed up one day and he saw him. He said, there's my brothers. Because he knew they were getting out of food, right? They came for food. And so he didn't run over there and say, oh, brothers, my gosh, look here, man, I'm running the joint. Can y'all believe it? I'm like the head dog. I'm so glad to see y'all. Oh, I just love you so much. It's so wonderful. That's not what he did. That's not what he did at all. If you read the story, it's not hard to read. You find out that Joseph starts threatening them. He says, yeah, you know what? Y'all are here to spy out the land, aren't you? You bunch of spies. And they didn't even know it was Joseph, right? And he knew that they didn't know that it was him. He said, y'all are here as spies. You're coming to the, you know what? I'm going to let you go back to your daddy. You do have a daddy, right? And a parent, I'm going to let you go back there, but I'm going to keep a couple of you guys in prison. Why? And then you go back and you bring back, you know, your brother, and you tell me, if you got to prove to me you're not a bunch of spies, because I think you're a bunch of spies. That's what he told him. And so he was very, very, it looked like, if you didn't know the end of the story, it looked like he was bitter. It looked like he was angry, and it looked like he was vindictive. And so much so that his brothers got so freaked out, they started talking in front of him because they thought he was a Egyptian and didn't understand Hebrew. They started talking to each other. It's because of what we did to Joseph. This man is bringing down God's judgment on this because we did it. So he sat there and watched them say, this has happened, just what we did to Joseph. And Joseph was standing right there in front of him, and they didn't even know it. And so he still didn't go, brothers, it's me, I'm so sorry, I love you guys, I miss y'all, bring daddy. No, he gave him a hard time. And only when you read the whole story, you see that only because they repented, they were sorry for what they did, truly sorry for what they did, then he restored them. I don't know what would have happened if they had said, we don't care what this guy does to us. We hate Joseph. Joseph was sorry. And if he'd heard them saying that instead of like, man, you know, my God, I told you guys not to get rid of him. I told you not to throw him down in that pit. I told you. No, they were like, if they'd have been like, we don't care. I don't know what he would have done. And so the same thing with me, that I'm dealing with this situation. I'm going to be like Joseph. In fact, I'm going to deal with them very harshly to see where they're at on it and to see what happens. And so far there's been no repentance and no – you know, we're sorry that we, you know, did that to you. Nothing yet. So it depends. And if they don't, I'll probably take everything that I can from them, not only what belongs to me, but pay for the damages of what they did for 3 or 4 years without me. And then once I have it in my hands, then if they repent, then I'll turn around and bless them. I may give them back everything. I may say, you know, now that you guys gotten right and you truly got right, and I feel like you're being truthful about it, about your getting right with God and you're sorry for what you did to me and to God, then I may just turn around and give them the whole thing back. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do exactly, because if you read the story of Joseph, that's how I'm handling this. And if there's no repentance but anger and hatred, then I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I may take everything and then maybe give them back what truly did belong to them and divide it up, you know, in thirds like it was supposed to be in the first place, and then give them back, you know, what I take from them to rightly divide it and be like a Joseph in the sense that we bring justice to them and truly do what they should have done with me, and that was rightly divided from the very beginning. But instead, they robbed. It looks like they robbed. No, they did. There's no looking like it. It's pretty well evident that the thing is I just don't know how much. That's what I don't know, is how much. So that we're going to find out.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on the trail. You're on the track. So that's what you're doing is going to come to the light. Whatever, you know, the wrong they've done, and like I say, maybe they'll repent and get it right. That's the main thing you want to do.
I think they will.
You know.
I hope they will, yeah. I really don't know. Yeah. You really don't know about that stuff. People can, be very, you know, I know the scripture pretty good about different circumstances like this and how some people got angrier, angry at God. When he tried to judge them to get them to repent, they got angrier and shook their fist at God. Some repented, but many didn't. That's in the book of Revelation. So you never know what people are going to do. So we'll see what happens. And he tried today to get me to, Randy, you know, you could sue your sister. And I said, I didn't say anything about suing. Oh, but you could sue your sister. And if you do that, you're going to get, you know, find out if they did do anything wrong. And then you're going to get up and you're going to pay those attorney fees and all that. And I said, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know what? Because I'm not going to sign anything until you guys get me everything so I can see what they did or didn't do. And then when I see what they did or didn't, and they could have been more honest than I think, you know, more honest than they look. They could be more honest than they look. They're definitely not honest, but they may be more honest than they look right now. That's possible.
Right.
So we'll do that. Then we'll see what's going on. And I said, but he tried to get me to sign the contract with the pressure of, man, she's got cash. That's what he mentioned to me. She's got cash, Randy. Cash. I'm going like, you can get your money and just go on, and then you can deal with it. Here's what he said. He said, then you can deal with all this stuff later. Like, he's telling me I was going to sue him, which I've never mentioned. I've never mentioned the word sue at all to anybody, ever.
Right.
Especially this situation. And he said, yeah, you can sue. I said, I'm not saying I'm going to sue anybody. I want the truth. And he said, but you know what? He said, well, go ahead and sign it. You'll be fine. And afterwards, you can deal with it. I said, this is what got him. I said, no, I'm not going to do that because that's my only leverage I have. What other leverage do I have? Who's going to care if they got the money and spent the money afterwards and we drag it through court? There's not going to be any I have no leverage, really, other than just spending a lot of time paying attorneys to, you know, whatever, to do it. I said, I'm not that stupid. No, I'm not going to sign anything because that's my only leverage that I've got.
Yeah.
And it's about $250,000 worth of leverage. So that might... I don't know what it's going to do. I don't know the end result yet. But for everybody listening tonight, I hope it doesn't – I don't know what it sounds like to you, but I am not trying to be vindictive. Or I gave the money up. I literally – the shotgun made me happy just thinking I had something from my daddy, you know, that we used to all go hunting with. I mean, honest to God. And I have documented proof of all that. I never asked for anything, ever. Not a penny, not a nickel. What are you guys doing? Whatever happened. I never said a word. I told the attorney that today. I said, I got proof of all that, brother. I said, I'm a very documenting person, and I've got all that documented, what they did and what they didn't do. It's all been documented. So he said, well, send that to me, and so I may send it, I may not. I'm in control now. I'm in control now. Me and Jesus, we're in control. Me and Joseph, we're in control.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, you definitely... You got your ducks lined up, so you just have to come clean, or just, you know, it's going to be a tug of war. It's going to be a fight, but Like, yeah, God is on your side.
With, I walk away with $250,000 and a full house of furniture, very nice furniture, because I know what that furniture mm-hmm. is. I already know most things. Now, they don't know I know it, but you know, and I have a house full of furniture and a nice house, and if I choose to live there for a while, maybe fix it up, make it look really, really nice, and sell it for $300,000 or whatever, or sell it for, you know, $200,000, whatever I want to do with it, and live there for a while, you know, I may do that. So just to kind of like, I don't know, we'll see. I really don't know yet exactly.
Yeah, you have some decisions you'll have to make. So, yeah, you got time to think about it. But, that's going to be, I'm sure they're probably shocked that you're, you know, you caught on and you're running with it. You're not just letting it roll over again. So, say God is on your side. So, that's the main thing.
Definitely.
You
because
side. You've
because
already
I,
won.
Because I gave it. Yeah, I've already won. The battle's already won. I already know that. It's just a matter of, you know, how we handle it. Like I said, if I feel like not just saying they're sorry, but if they truly repent, you know, and God uses it to get them all right with him. And me too. I mean, I'm sure there's some things I need to get right too. I'm not saying that I'm perfect in any of it. You know, family stuff, you know, we got stuff that goes way back and there's no telling what, you know, and so I may need to get some things right too. So I'm not saying that I'm holy and they're not. I'm just saying that, you know, this thing may work out for good if they truly repent of it. And if I take everything that belongs to me, if I have an attorney or whatever I have to take to do it, and then take some of their stuff too for the damages and suffering that I went through, which I didn't really go through any, but, you know, and then I'm going to use that. I'm going to be like Joseph. I'm going to be very tough. I'm going to, you know, throw them in prison, not literally throw them in prison, but in financially I'm going to imprison their finances into my hands, you know, what I can get out of that. And then if they truly repent, I'll just turn around. I may turn around and not only give them back their stuff, but give them my stuff too. You know, like Joseph did. He ended up, when he found out his brothers really were sorry, he said, bring your families. I want to take care of you guys. He took care of them. He gave them land, property, and gave them favor with Joseph. Well, I mean, with the Pharaoh. And I would love to do the same thing. That's what I'm hoping this is going to turn out to be. That's what I want the story to be, is that story. Right now we're in the point of, okay, you guys are spies. You come here to spy the land. I know that you look like bad people. I know, and he was just going at him, right? He wasn't saying, "Oh, brothers, I love you." I'm the head dude now, man. Come on in. No, he just like, I'm going to keep a couple of guys in prison. Okay, you go home, do this thing. He got in control. He got in control of the situation. And he kept control because when he put him in prison, when he put one of the brothers in prison the first time and then another one another time, you know, that kept him in control. You know what I'm saying? So when he got control, his control worked to help them and bless them because they were sorry for what they did.
Yeah, absolutely. He had a sorrowful heart. Mm-hmm. And so did he. So that was like...
Oh man, it's hilarious.
For his brother, what Benjamin? I think it was his brother Benjamin. That's who he wanted to see. That's why he made him put. I guess he kept one of them or something. I think it was. But yeah,
he kept one of them. He kept him in prison because that was the only leverage that he had, other than the fact that he had food, and they didn't have any food. So they when they went back the first time with the food, one of the brothers had to stay in prison. Right? I think I can't remember which one it was. And then there was no more food. They were going to, because it was a 7-year famine. It wasn't 3.5 years or several months. It was 7 years, which means it dried out everything and everybody to the point of death. Everybody would have died had it not been for Joseph hearing from God and doing what God said. And so they took the food back. They had plenty of food. They told their father, you know, this guy's really, they didn't know it was Joseph yet. They said, "Mark, Dad, this guy, he started asking us about our family. He started asking us about, you know, do we have a brother?" He started asking, we didn't know he was going to ask us all these questions. He started asking us all these questions, like he knew something about us or something. We don't know what his deal was. He's an Egyptian, right? They thought. And so Jacob got mad. Yeah, why did you tell him that? You know, I don't want to lose. I already lost Joseph. Now I'm going to lose Benjamin. He said, well, we can't get any more. Here's where Joseph got control. He said, he says, bring me back Benjamin. And if you don't bring back Benjamin, you're not going to get anything. So that's how he got control, because they were going to run out of food, okay. And he knew it. Mm-hmm. But like a few months, they're going to run out of food, and then they had to come back, not only for food, but then, because the brothers told their daddy, they said, Daddy, we have to take Benjamin. If we don't take Benjamin, he's not even going to see us. See, that's where Joseph got control of the whole thing, but he got in control, because when a manager is from God, who's managing things, and he's in control with God's heart, even though he may be very rough with people appearance-wise to get that control, his heart is to, you know, to have it all, you know, good. He wanted his brothers with him. He wanted his father with him because he knew that they couldn't stay in Canaan. And so they did. They came to Egypt. And anyway, that's the story. But
right.
So that's what I'm mm-hmm. working on, and that's what's happening. And I'm going to be placed in a place where I'm going to be in control. It's already happening. That attorney doesn't quite know that yet, but he's fixing to find out pretty quick. You know, he'll work some things. They all work. They all got to prove that they can work a little something. I'll take care of him, man. I'm an attorney. I'll work this and I'll work and I'll threaten him with this and threaten him from a legal perspective. And I'll threaten. I'm sure he'll do all. He may do all that. I don't know what he's going to do. But you know what? All the stuff I've been through the last 5 years, this ain't nothing. This is like a drop in the bucket so far.
Mm-hmm.
So it's yeah. like, bring it on, baby. Some more training, I guess, or something. I don't know, but it's yeah. a great opportunity for me to bless my family if they repent and if they get right with God, and I hope they do, because if they don't, it may not be so well for them. And so it could be a really great. I'm hoping for a Joseph situation. Is what I'm hoping for, but I don't yeah. see it yet. That's why wow. that's why the power of pressure has to be applied. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to apply pressure in ways. They don't even have a clue how I'm going to apply pressure. God has shown me how to apply pressure yet. And I'm sure they've got some strategies too, but, you know, it's going to be interesting. I'll be reporting yeah. on PGN. Y'all going to hear the whole thing, or at least everything that I can share. I will share it with you guys, because I want everybody mm-hmm. to see what God is doing, you know. And I don't mm-hmm. feel like I have to hide this. I think this needs to be all out in the open so everybody can learn. We can all learn together. And if I mess mm-hmm. up something, if I get weird and ugly, God will correct me, and I'll tell you all that he corrected me and I did something wrong. I'll tell you right here on the show.
Yeah. But we all be praying for you, that you, and say, you know, God is on your side. He's leading you to do it, so he's with you. So you got all your yeah. ducks in a row. You keep up with your paperwork, and you're researching, and you're learning stuff for yourself. And
yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm a research hound. And now that my brain has gotten better, and it gets better all the time, I'm totally surprised by my brain and how the Holy Spirit's able to use me more because my brain is working more. It's really that simple. It's really cool, man. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm onto something big here. And so if it wasn't for that, this is going to be good development for my brain working at a whole other, because when you're working with the kinfolk, that's a whole different thing. It's a whole different level, as everybody knows. Yeah. It's personal, it's family. Mm-hmm. Like when Joseph mm-hmm. dealt with his family in that situation, that was a whole other level for him. And the same thing with me. So we'll see if God, if I stay with God on it and I do it right, then I'll be greatly rewarded, you know, so I can do more of God's work. That's what I want. All I'm interested in is work. I'm not interested in money. They think I'm interested in money. Oh, you're just like, oh, you're coming now. We don't even hear from you. Listen, this is what they tell me. Honestly, guys, yeah, we don't hear from you until it comes down to getting the money. And look at this. They said that to me, and I got it documented. You didn't even mm-hmm. get until the money. I'm going like, so I start going, yeah, that does kind of look like that. But then why is it that you tried to do whatever monies there were? I never heard about any of them. And now they're gone. You finally confessed to me that you gave my brother $40,000, and how much did you take? I don't even know how much she took, you know, whatever that was. And so I'm the one that is showing up just for the money, and I've never asked for anything ever and even questioned you guys about anything. And now she's – look, you have to see how this is so much fun. I'm having fun at watching these people squeal like a bunch of pigs.
Yeah.
I'm going like, and I sit back and I'm just, it doesn't bother me. I don't get upset with it very much, maybe a little bit upset. And I'm sitting back going like, man, I've heard all this stuff before. I know all these strategies. And before they even come out of their mouth, I know what they're going to say most of the time. I'm going like, yeah, there you go. There it is right there. And I just laugh. And I'm like going, this is, I can't even believe I'm laughing about this. Used to, I'd be crying. Oh, God, no, please, no, not you. Like now it's like, this is hilarious. You don't come in and kill the money. And then I started, and then I little by little processed it back to her and them. Okay, now let's think about this. So I'm only coming for the money, right? So I never contacted you in the first place for 3-4 years, right? Well, yeah, but, you know, that's because you were just neglecting us. So it went from, you know, to neglect, like you just neglected us. I'm going like, okay, well, that's interesting. Good point, really good point. All right, let's take that in there for consideration. And so, but the money thing, I came for the money, huh? So can you tell me why you tried to sell the house and never gave me anything but a shotgun? And I didn't even bring up the shotgun with it. You know, I never got it. I never asked for anything. And yet, now that you can't sell the house and get your money and all the other monies you got, whatever that is, and you can't get your money until I sign it, and I'm the one who's coming for the money? And because you had to contact me, but I came for the money? I just like going.
You had the last. Yeah,
I had the last laugh because I'm feeling so sorry for them, because when I'm doing it, I get very involved, and so I God gives me a thought process. He says, okay, now feed them this. You know, if you're just in it for the money, then why did you ever not contact them and ask for money? I never asked for anything, but I'm just in it for the money, right? Okay, and then you guys couldn't get the money behind my back without you tried to, because I got a contract right in front of me that has your name on it, and then you found out you couldn't sell it without me. Well, no, you try to sell it without me. That's it. There's no question. And yet I'm the one. All I want is the money, and I never asked for anything, and never even would have. You guys could have sold the house without me, and taken all the money, and yet I'm for. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was just so easy pickings, man. That was some easy pickings.
And yeah, they've been busted. Yeah,
they've been busted. Yeah, I said, you're fired. Yep. A couple times I said, you're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired. Today I told
you. I know, that probably really agitated her. That probably really agitated
her. Yeah, she really did get upset about it. That's the most she got upset, because she came back with no, I'm in control, and I because I get that on text. I'm in control. I go like, yeah. And then a couple of days later, I'm still doing more research, right? I'm still learning about all this, right? This is all new to me. And I'm doing more research, and I'm looking, and I finally get paperwork from the attorneys about their dealings, because they had to send it to me, right? Now I'm telling the attorneys, I'm an heir to this, and you haven't given me anything, not one thing? You guys, this is not looking good for y'all. And that's when they started, you know, freaking out a little bit. And she starts stuttering, like, oh, and I never heard her stutter in her life, this girl. Very articulate. She said, I just repeated myself 3 times. I go like, it's okay. It's very nice to her. I said, that's okay. I said, I do the same thing myself. I repeat myself too sometimes. I said, it's okay, Peggy. You know, you're fine. You're doing good.
So I wonder when you were saying they did without you, so I know it's not legal, but How can they do it without you? Because if they've already got the money and stuff, shouldn't the lawyer don't you all have a brother?
Because the only thing they couldn't do because the monies and stuff in the accounts, you know, she just had access to it, just like you didn't have to have a legal document to get into the bank accounts and shift that money around. But when it came to the actual sale of a property of a house, that's when it nailed them. When they couldn't do anything without me. And that's when they got busted. And they knew they were busted too. And they waited until the last minute.
Okay.
They told me, this was like last week, right? Last week, what is today? Today is Tuesday. I think it was like last Thursday or Friday. I don't remember what day it was. They said, you need to hurry up and sign that contract. I said, hang on. For what? What contract? For what? We're selling out. We got to have that money. I'm going, do it now. Are they going to sue us? I'm going like, I go, so I said, you know, hey, give me some documents. Show me who's in control. And that's when we started the control thing. Who's in control of this? I knew Deb was, but I was trying to find out now for sure. Now that they need me, I can ask questions, right? Ah, well, you know, I'm not going to do anything. And see where I got them was I got in control because without me, they couldn't get that money. Yeah, right. You know what? I'm not going to find nothing until y'all show me some documents. So pretty soon, you know, the attorneys get me some documents, and I start reading those documents, and then I'm finding out that nobody was in control but me and all three of us were in control. That was it.
Right.
There was no estate executor at all, which was very unusual. Yeah. See, I thought she was in control of all that. And so she didn't want me to know that. That was another realm of deception where she was trying to keep me from finding out that she was not the executor. She just thought, I thought she was the executor. Because that's what they normally do with most every will, right?
Mm-hmm.
Appoint
right.
one. And so they didn't want me to have the paperwork. Finally, when I got that, I started reading it. Even though I didn't know that it was going to tell me that she wasn't the executor, I didn't even know that. I'm not knowledgeable enough to know that. But I kept saying, you know, okay, that if they needed my signature for things, then how did she, you know, even though she's in control, being in control and still need my signature, she never got my signature, even though she's in control, what I thought was she was in control. And then I found out, well, she wasn't in control at all, and they still, and even her for being in control, they needed my signature, right, in this case, right?
Right.
So then I found out she wasn't even in control at all about anything. And then it took off to a whole other level. Then they realized, I realized all that, and then they started popping like popcorn, like, okay, well, you know, and still lying to me and still trying to deceive me, which just makes me upset. You know, I get angry.
Yeah.
I'm not out of control anger, and I don't treat them ugly ever, other than my words are very blunt. I'm very blunt with my words. I don't call them names, other than you're being impeached now. I told her yesterday, I said, I said the official word, Deb, for your stuff is that you have been impeached. That's literally the official word that they use. You've been impeached. I told her she was fired and laid off a couple of days before that. And then I come up, no, here's the official word. Sorry, it's called impeached. You have now been impeached. she's going like, you are cruel. I go, no, I mean, that's just the legal language. I'm just trying to tell you that.
Right.
I'm trying to keep everything legal, you know. So it's exciting. I think that these are good people. These are good people, everyday, good, down-to-earth people. But you know what money does to people sometimes, especially they think they're going to get by with it, and they think that you don't care, you know, and they don't even try to see if you care. They don't even try to see if I care. I might have done the same thing if I'd have been in their shoes. So I'm not condemning them or saying they're evil people. But it has worked into a situation that makes them look really, really bad at this point, really bad. And it may look really, 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 really bad. I don't know. We'll see.
Right.
But good people. I mean, they're just down-to-earth country folk who got
that
carried
money
away.
Just getting away. Right.
It got in the way. Yeah, okay. It did get in the way. So I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy with them. The more I kept realizing things, and I kept trying to get them to tell me the truth about what I realized, and I knew that it was the truth. It took me a little while to figure that out, through a lot of research and a lot of looking, a lot of reading, and a lot of meditating on it. And so when I finally realized the truth, and I started trying to – so what I do is I ask questions sometimes with people when I already know what the answer is, just to see how they're going to do it. If they're going to lie to me, then I come back and I say, well, then I approach it a different way. Well, but what about this information? To let them know a little bit more, like I know a little bit more than you think, and I show them that little bit more, and they still kind of, well, you know, nah. I say, well, so you're not going to tell me the truth on that? Okay, let me approach it a little bit. So I do three or four different ways, and then when they just keep lying, and it gets worse, and they contradict themselves, you know, I give them enough room. I let people hang themselves. I'm not going to hang you. I told her, I said, I'm not hanging you. I said, you've hung yourself. I'm telling myself now. I said, just like Haman, it said Haman had it all set up, so he was going to do his thing, and then all of a sudden one day it just ended, and the rope and the gallows that Haman made for, you know, me, in this case, for Esther and the Jews, you will hang your, you've hung yourself on that. I didn't hang you. You hung yourself. I told her that today. Mm-hmm. You have hung yourself. Yeah. That's what you've done. And I didn't hang you. I didn't even know that there was a rope and gallows being made. I didn't even know that was happening. And, right. and you guys were doing it. And now you're going to hang from your own gallows, you know, and mm-hmm. I hate that. Maybe not physically, of course, but but what happened was I see now after that 3 years of doing nothing that what I was doing was and didn't realize it. I didn't strategize this, but I was giving them, you know, God was giving them rope to hang themselves. That's what mm-hmm. he was doing. And mm-hmm. now hopefully we can use that hanging instead of hanging them to get them like Joseph brothers where we can position to bless them. But they're not just going to be able to say they're sorry. I'm going to have a witness in my spirit that they mean it. And that's one thing Joseph did. If you look at the story, Joseph made sure over and over again that they were truly sorry for what they did. If you read the story in that light, you'll see it. And that's why I talk about the Joseph story so much and the brothers so much, is because I never can talk about everything I go through, but, you know, hoping to minister to other people, but it's mainly what I'm going through. And so it's been really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to the end. Yeah, it's all resolved.
Yeah.
So.
And. Yeah. I may be surprised at some of their strategies. I don't know. I'm pretty much of a, only because God shows me stuff, you know, that in that sense, I feel sorry for them because it's just not fair. I think they don't realize that they're standing before me stark naked, and they don't realize it. Mm-hmm. It's like walking. It's like I've used this example before, like being in the store or the restaurant somewhere. People, you know, you have a couple just walk into the store and they're just talking and having fun, and they don't know it, but they don't have any clothes on. And you walk over to them and you go like, you know, you don't have any clothes on. They go like, what? Oh no, we have clothes on. We're fine. And they don't even know they're naked, right? And, and so that's kind of what happens in the case of this situation, is that it's so obvious that you can, I can see every little thing I don't want to see, you know, with their bodies, and spiritually speaking, they are stripped. They have been stripped naked, and hopefully I won't have to be looking up their rears to see what's up there. I don't want to see what's up there, but if we have to, medically speaking, what do you call that when you do a colonoscopy or something? What do you got stuck up way up in there? Let's just figure this thing out, you know? Yeah, anyway, so a colonoscopy, I think it's called. I had one of those once a long time ago. They stick this thing up your rear to see what your colon looks like. And so we may be having to do that. I hope not. God knows I'm not interested.
Wow, we don't go that far.
I don't know. We might.
Probably before then.
We've already got the scope out. Actually, I think it's already out. We're kind of like... putting some Vaseline on or whatever they put on there, you know.
You're probing.
I think we're kind of getting ready. And they can smell it, too. Like, I got my white gloves, and like, I pop in my white gloves, and I got my glove in it. And they pop them, you know, like, pop, like. And they hold their hands out like they're white gloves, and they got the little probe they're going to stick up your, you know, whatever they're going to get to inspect you. And, like, and you're sitting there going, like, okay, here it is. Are you going to tell me what's up in there, or am I going to have to actually go up in there and look? It's up to you. That's what I told him today. I said, it's really up to y'all. You can do this willingly, or we're gonna just do it. You know, we're gonna come after it. I got an attorney, and one of my friends here at PGN turned me onto an attorney in Washington D.C. who kind of got me started with it. Thank you. You know who you are, in Washington D.C. A very powerful attorney. And he's in Washington and not in Texas, and he gave me all kinds of information. I recorded the whole conversation and took that information, and it took me to another level, of course. And I tried to tell him I had an attorney give me information, and they called me a liar. They said, you got no attorney. You don't get attorney. That's what they think I'm not going to do, right? They're going to be surprised this time because I have a lot more access to a lot more things than I used to. And I don't like to use them, but if God allows me to or makes me do it, I will do it. I don't like to use attorneys. I'd rather do it without. Mm-hmm. I've gone to court myself and fought for myself as my own legal, representation before. But this time, they may force me. Like I'm standing with my gloves on, my little rubber gloves on, and the colonoscopy thing, and I'm putting the Vaseline on there, whatever they put on there, and I'm getting ready to, you know, I'm kind of waving it around a little bit, like I'm trying to get warmed up for, you know, like, okay, you guys want me to stick this up in there and turn the camera on, or you want to just tell me what's up in there? And that's kind of where we're at with it, right?
They seem like they're, because when they say you're not going to get an attorney, they don't, they pull, calling your bluff, I think. Like,
they're trying to call
your
bluff.
That's,
yeah, and I already had one.
Right. Yeah, I think they're going to be pretty surprised at what you've done.
Yeah, they're going to be surprised. Well, the thing that helped, I got an idea. I texted a friend. I said, hey, you know, do you know any attorneys that deal with this kind of thing? And told them just a little bit about it, because they had already heard me talk about it on the show. And so I said, yeah, you know, I think I know somebody. And so I contacted him right away on Sunday. This was Sunday. And actually, I called him once, just leave a message, so maybe he'd call me on Monday or something. And so I called him up, and I said, hey, man, this is – I give my name. What's going on? Can you give me a call, please? And he didn't answer. You know, I got him, left him a voicemail. And so I sat there, I'm thinking, and the Lord says, call him again. I'm going, but I'm not going to bother him. He said, the Lord says, call him again. Okay, God, hang on a second. So I called him up, right? And this time he says, hello. I went, oh, my God, this is Sunday. And you're, I said, sir, and so that's where I explained to him my situation. I mean, that dude was like thorough and wonderful and very upfront and just like the way I like it. You know, and nice, and he told me my ins and outs, what I could and couldn't do, and it was very powerful, and it gave me some ammunition to take it to the next level. And so that was on a Sunday, man. I had an attorney, a well-known attorney, calling me, or I called him, I texted him, and I said, I called him and left him a message, and then the Lord said, call him back, so I called him back the second time, and then he answered. And so he spent some time with me. I tried to pay him, and he wouldn't let me. Isn't that sweet? Man, that is sweet Jesus.
Yeah.
I said, let me send you some money. I texted him. I said, you got a PayPal account or whatever account? Please let me know what it is. I want to just, you know, send you an offering or send you a blessing. And he sent me back the sweetest message. He said, bless blessings to you or bless God or something. I can't remember what he said. But bless the Lord, I remember. I went, oh, man, that was amazing. And so I went ahead, and he said, you need to get an attorney, Randy, if you're going to deal with it. I said, well, he said, you've been trying to get them to open up to you. I said, yeah, absolutely. Be very nice about it, very blunt, but very nice. And he said, you think they're going to change now? They're going to change. If they got something to hide, you think they're going to change now? No, they're going to call your bluff. They're going to do all kinds of things. You're going to have to get you an attorney and go after them. So I told him today, I said, I got my attorney. I will be talking to him tomorrow. And we will be taking our next move. And then I get a call from the attorney after that. I don't know if that's why he called exactly, but I told him I had an attorney and that I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get justice here. I didn't want to do this, but you guys forced me to, because I'm not getting answers. Somebody's lying or deceiving or hiding something. Something's going on. I said, I don't know. I don't have any, I can't accuse anybody yet, but it's looking really stinky right now at this point. And so so finally the attorney, I mean, she'd been telling me the attorney can call me for several days. I think he's been sick or something. So if that's true, which I think it is, he finally called me today. Very nice of him. Mm-hmm. Very nice guy. And, I found out a lot. So it's working. God is working it. And attorney will – if they make me upset enough, as far as upset meaning they're not going to give me the truth, and I've been begging them to give me the truth. Just give me documentation. Don't just tell me what you did. I'm a document person. I need to see it. I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just saying I just need to see what you're saying so I can have – this is my family stuff. This isn't just some half-baked thing. This is my family. This is my inheritance, and now that God's given me an opportunity to go for it, I want to see the documentation. What's wrong with that? Oh, well, you know, what do you have to see that for? I go, that's suspicious that you're saying that. it's all smelling like, it's not smelling so good right now. It may not be as bad as it looks, but it looks pretty bad because I've done some very, you know, gracious thank you for Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I've done some research and read articles and asked the right questions. The thing that the attorney did from Washington, D.C. was that he gave me the right questions to ask them that go to the root, and that's what I needed. And when I did that, that's mm-hmm. when they freaked out. Because if you don't know how to, just like with God, if you don't know how to ask God the right questions, you won't get answers. That's why I tell people all the time, I always ask God what to ask for. So when I asked that attorney what to ask for, I said, what do I need to ask them specifically? Because they only attorneys know that, right? He told me, I wrote it down, and sure enough, I formulated the questions, and I put them all in there, plus a couple of my own. And when I sent that, that's when I called the lady, and she was stuttering. I've never heard her stutter before. She was she was like, and she even said on the phone, I repeated myself three times, going like, yeah, I know, I've done that before, dude. Don't worry about it. She was really free. She was really starting to. Yeah, it was. It's one of those things. So it's a funny. It's an awesome story. It's going to be an awesome story when it's all done. Hopefully, it'll be a Joseph story and end up with me being able to help them, you know, be taken care of if they want me to. You know, I mean, I'm willing to go there because the Joseph story is a part of my life. And so how can I not have a Joseph experience opportunity and not do it if everything lines up with the brothers?
Yeah.
And it may not.
Right.
Wow. I told everybody on the show the last time I talked about it, I said, y'all get ready because you maybe hear rumors about me that Randy's being tough, Randy's being bitter, Randy's being – I said, no, just think about the Joseph story before you jump to those conclusions.
Right. Yeah. Well, man, you got them in the palm of your hand. It's like, you know, they know something is up. They know something is up. And, you know, I think you got everybody shaking around you. You've shaken the ground.
Right. I think God has given me that attorney that I was turned on to that talked to me on Sunday. I couldn't believe it. And gave me all that information. And the big turning point, one of the major turning points was when he called me, I think, when he answered the phone call that I called and gave me the right questions to ask. That was the main thing, because when you're an attorney and you're fighting a case, if you ask you can ask 1,000 questions that may look really tough and that may look really big, but if it's not the right ones that go to the root of what's really going on, that you'll lose every case. Oh, man, you asked some really great questions. Yeah, but it wasn't the root question. You have to ask the root question. And so when we that, thanks to my friend who turned me on to that attorney, I think that that's what, you know, was the next level of turning the tide.
Tide. God, that's for sure.
Turn. Yeah, I think it's turned. We'll see, you know, of course, it's me talking. You know, I'm talking. I try to be as purely honest as I can and without being too, you know, I don't want to get carried away and just give my total side of it. I try to tell their side of it too, the best I can, knowing that they thought they were going to get by with it and therefore God gave them enough rope to hang themselves and they hung themselves. I sure didn't hang them. I didn't even try. I wasn't even trying to hang anybody. And now they've hung themselves and now I'm coming hopefully to the rescue. Hopefully I'll be able to rescue them from hanging themselves, because the ramifications from doing something to a man of God, not just your brother or your sister, physical, that's bad enough if they indeed do what we think. But what you do to a servant of God that is truly a servant of God and doing what God wants, that territory right there is what concerned me more than anything, more than financial retribution, more than whatever, is what God would, because I'm telling you, Angela and all my friends listening tonight, I have seen God deal with people who dealt with me deceitfully and try to take me down, using, you know, even in the case with this, with my kinfolk, and trying to set me up and try to do things. I've seen those people be dealt with in ways that I wouldn't wish on anybody. And it's fearful to fall into the hands of the living God. And I'm not saying they went to hell or are going to hell. I'm just saying that the hell they're going to go through unless they get it right with God and me, that I fear for not only my brother and sister and that attorney and everybody in that office over there, because I've seen it swipe. When God starts swiping, when he gives everybody a chance to get it right, and that's the thing I have to – see, that's the thing I have to work on. To get their blood off my hands, I have to give them every opportunity, present it every way that I can, to do the best way I can to get them to see what we're going with this and what, you know, if you mess up, it's okay, I've messed up too. Let's just get it right. The big thing is let's just get it right. And so I have to present that in every way as a true servant of God. And if I don't, then God can't deal with it. But if I do everything I know to do to make it, you know, help them understand, you know, please don't do this anymore because it's going to cost you. And I've had them literally mock me, and say, and I've got this on document too, not this time around, but this situation, but they said, oh, are we all going to die because we're messing with you? And I just went, you know, I mean, they know situations that people that have messed with me in some really bad ways that they know. I mean, they said that because they know, and they're going like, oh, yeah, we're all going to die too because you. And I'm going like, well, you know, I have nothing to do with how God deals with people. It's up to y'all. Y'all hang yourself. I don't hang people. My job is to unhang you and to take the rope off you. But if you don't let me take the rope from you, then you will end up hanging yourself like Amos did. And that's what we don't want. We want the end result to be Joseph, not Haman. That's not what we want. If Haman would have got right with God, it would have been awesome. But he persisted to do evil all the way through, if you read that story. But so there's a lot of stuff I'm not even talking about that I could talk about in details about people that have, you know, deliberately and willfully come against me on a regular basis, and God gave them plenty of times to get it right, and they chose not to. And some of the things that happened to some of those people it's even hard to talk about because it was so devastating what happened to them. I'm talking about young people. I'm talking about one of my kinfolk who said some really evil things about me. Evil. He died leaving several children behind at a young age. And it was a freak accident. I don't want to talk too much about it, but and they all know about that because it's family. And they know what he did. And they, you know, anyway, so I can't say too much about that, but that's just one of actually several, but everything's a little bit different. But the thing is that God is so gracious that he gives you the chance to get it right. And it's not, if he was saved, it didn't mean that he didn't go to heaven. It just means that he ended his life early because he deliberately and willfully, without repentance, you know, did the wrong thing on purpose and never got it right. That right there is extremely dangerous. And that man died at an early age, like I said, with young children and he was really a good guy. And I would tell the whole story, but I can't do that. But really a nice guy. But he had, when he got upset about something, you know, that's what he did. So.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I says, touch that my anointed.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like that people can't agree with us and not even like us. I mean, they don't have to like me or like you. It's when they deliberately, willfully plot against you.
Right.
It's not just, oh, they disagree with me, so God's going to deal with them. No, who cares? They don't like me, so God's going to get them. No, God doesn't care about that. He doesn't care if they like you or not. But when they plot against you to try to destroy your reputation or your life or whatever, then you're talking about a whole different thing. And that's when things happen. Janisha says, you need to ask for a forensic accounting of the estate to know what it entailed. Yeah, I've already done that. Thank you for that. So that's one of the things that I've done. And so today, that's what I'm saying. After they finally figured out, the legal people know that I have a legal person somewhere. They don't know where I've got him tucked in, but they know I've, because of the language that I used when I sent those questions, they knew something was going on because everything shifted then. And then all of a sudden the mm-hmm. attorney, if it wasn't because he was sick, and he might've been, that he had me calling me, it's possible. Then it was the turning of the tide when we asked the right questions, like Tanisha said to me, you need to ask for a forensic accounting of the estate to know what it entailed. Yeah. And that's what we did. I didn't use those exact words, but basically overall. So today he gets me on the phone. The attorney gets me on the phone today. And I talked to him just today, you know, before the show, a couple of hours. And about 4:30, I was talking about 4:30. And he said, yeah, your father had a will, and we probated that will, which means they activated or something. I don't know what they mean to probate exactly. But so I go like, huh? I said, okay, so he explained probate. I said, okay, so you did probate my father's will. Well, then how come I don't have access to my father's accounts if you probated my father's will? And that right there, I didn't even know about that. That came out of my mouth before I even knew what I was saying. I said, then how come you have not been giving me those accounts from that probated will? And right then, he goes, okay, I'll see about that. See, I asked the right question. I didn't even know what I was, and that one, I didn't have anybody asking me. I didn't have anybody helping me with that. The Holy Spirit just, if indeed it is correct, is what I'm saying. Because all of a sudden he went, yeah, okay, well, because before they're saying, no, we don't really know how to get a hold of them. They're telling me, we don't know how to get a hold of that information. We don't even know where that's at. All right, I'm going like, you don't know where it's at, and you were his attorney? Yeah, that's what they're saying. And my sister's saying this. We don't even know. We don't even know, Randy, where those accounts went. We don't know how do we get them? They were asking me how to get them. I'm going, I wouldn't be asking you if I knew. And they acted all dumb and ignorant, you know. And mm-hmm. and so when he told me that the same attorney that did my mother's will or my mother's affidavit, and they did the will for my mother too. My mother, they said they lost it. I think it got, I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if it got stolen or not. But anyway, they said they lost the will for my mother. But my dad had a will. I have a documentation on that. And they, so I'm reading it right, and I'm going like, there's 50 more thousand right there. I didn't even see that one. There's 50 more thousand of some for something, another, you know. And I go, wow, it's right. Starting to really add up here. And so I told him, when I told him that, then he goes, he said, then he shifted gears. Because asking the right question, y'all. It's even this. Mm-hmm. I've talked about this on the show before. I've talked about this on the show. That if you don't ask God the right questions, you'll not get the answer. Yeah. If you don't ask God the right mm-hmm. questions, you won't get. And the same thing. I've even talked about this on the show before. I taught on it a couple years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And some of you remember because some of you commented on it. And so that's the same thing with God and the same thing with the attorneys. Like the Bible says, if you don't ask correctly, you don't receive. Right? He said, if you don't, what does it say? What does it say specifically? If you don't ask with the right motive, then you don't receive it. So I can't remember the exact wording on it right now, but something like that. And it says, in other words, if you don't ask correctly, you don't receive. So the same thing, when mm-hmm. I asked him correctly,
right?
He went, okay, well, yeah, we'll get those to you. Yeah, I'll see what I can do. I'm going like, What turned that around so fast? Because they have been resisting me on that the whole time. Because I think, right, here's the thing, that's the main thing right there. That's where it's going to show who got what and who's, if anybody stole anything or did anything, it'll all show up in those documents. And that's why they didn't want me to have it until today, right, when I asked him. That hopefully, you know, that's what it's looking like. He said he would get them to me today. That's the first time that's ever happened. Before that, they were acting like they didn't even know where they were, literally. Oh, we don't have access to those. And then I said, well, you know, I said, wait a minute. You said you probated my father's will and explained what probate meant. I went, okay, so you explained probate, and you said you did probate my father's will, and I put that two information together, and out came that question. Well, if you probated my father's will, then why don't I get that information? I have a right to that information. As soon as I said that, he went, okay. And all of a sudden, from them not having it, don't know where it's at, don't mm-hmm. know how to get it, don't know how to access it, to, okay, we'll get it to you right away. Look at that, girl.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's God working in it. God is doing
it.
His
was.
Work.
Yeah. I did not have a clue. When he said probate, I said, listen, I'm sorry, I don't even know what probate means. And I still don't know. I couldn't tell you what probate means right now, even though he explained it to me. But at the moment when he explained it to me, it clicked, and I went, okay, that's what probate means? That it kind of makes it official? Mm-hmm. That, so if that's official then, and I'm the official heir, then how come I don't have a right to the official documents? Boom! Yeah.
Yeah, you did your homework. He was ready.
So. On that one, I did, and on that one, you know, I'm not trying to correct you. I'm saying I didn't do any homework on that one. I did do homework on all the other stuff, though. You're right, but on that one, there was mm-hmm. no homework. On that one, I just kind of said, well, you know, you did my father's will too. Actually, his father did. His father died too. The attorney's father mm-hmm. had did my father's will, and my father and his father died about the same time. At the same year.
Oh,
I went, oh, that's
okay.
I didn't even know all that stuff. Yeah. I said, wow, that's bad, man. That's really sad. They both died the same year. Then he says, yeah, we probated your father's will. I said, what does probate mean? See, there was no homework on this particular area. I said, what does probate mean? He explained it to me. I went, okay, that's what probate means. You know, the will, okay, that probate that. And then that plus that. And I said, that gave me so that made it legal that I had, you know, right to that, and then I don't. And you're telling me you can't even find it? Oh, wait a minute. No, we'll get that to you. Literally, I got an old voice recorder.
Wow.
I may not be saying every word exactly correct, but
mm-hmm.
that's generally overall what I said.
You said the right thing. That's what.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is everything. Amen. Amen. To that.
Yeah. Wow. It really is. All right, girl. We have really chewed this up. Thanks for coming on and talk about. I know you didn't plan on doing this all this tonight, but you were going to bring up your thing with your stuff, and then your friend who went through that hard time with Scarlett O'Hara's
mm-hmm.
house and mm-hmm. what's his name. That's awesome.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Gone with the wind. Yep. So. That's. I mean, like you're fighting yours, but she, like I said, she didn't have the. I don't think she had the mental capacity just to, like she said, to really deal with it. But you know, so she just said, you know, if she sells the house, she said she would want money from, you know, from it and stuff. But she don't know if this person was very, very evil. I mean, from other stuff she was saying, but they, you know, she got both houses, and you know, she said if she sell it, she wouldn't mind having the money, but she said she's not going to fight for the house and stuff. Just let her have it.
Yeah.
But they were, you know, it was in using that movie, Gone with the Wind. And
yeah, that's really good. Here's something Jeannie, mm-hmm. here's something Jeannie's saying. Jeannie is saying this. I don't know when you sent this to me, Jeannie, at 11:26. Okay, it's just a few minutes ago. Jeannie's listening, and she knows a little bit about this. She said, how could the attorney have probated your father's will and have never even contacted you? That is a great question, Jeannie, because you know what? That's what I've been trying to get to for days. How come nobody contacted me? And you know what he told me today when I said that? He said, well, your sister never told us, gave us your contact information. Ah, what does that say? Exposure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeannie. Mm-hmm. What a great question. Here's another one. If you were in his will, they would have to have made contact and let you know what your part was. That's crazy. Well, here's what happened. My mom, when my father died, they probated the will, but then my mother received all of that my father had. In other words, they probated the will, and then my mother received all of my father's stuff. You know, if I'm saying that's what he told me today. So hopefully I'm getting this all correct here. I mean, I know what I'm saying, but maybe I'm not saying it correctly for y'all. If you were in his will, they would have had to have made contact with you. Yeah, and so it is crazy. So that one I still don't know. Sounds like you need a lawyer to represent you in your interest. Yeah, I got a lawyer. I got a lawyer, and the attorney in Washington, D.C. that contacted me, yeah, yes, I understand that dad passed and it went to his wife. Right. And they had the will for that. So they said my mother had a will because my sister kept telling me, mom didn't have a will. I'm going like, what? I don't know anything about this stuff at all, right? Nothing. I'm going like, she didn't have a will? How does she not have a will? Like, my mom and dad were very organized. She said, well, the attorney told me today, we had the original copy, but somebody took it. I think, I don't want to say who did that, because I have to look at the, down, listen to the audio again to make sure who took it. I think it's one of the children, right, took it, and then somehow it just, you know, got lost or something. And so then we had to make an affidavit, and the affidavit basically said the same thing that the will said. Or at least that's what the attorney told me. In other words, all three of us were estate person. There was nobody state executor. Deb was not the state executor, in other words. So they, at least they didn't lie and do something with that. She said, just the way your mother's will was the same way the affidavit was that we had to make, because we couldn't find the will, saying that you three were the inheritors. And so, yeah, so I got an attorney today, and I sealed the deal basically and trying to get it going on. And I'm trying to decide. I'm still hoping that they're going to make a deal with me, although I'm already ready to go there. I'm ready to spend all the money. I'm going to be honest with you. I've already decided that because that attorney asked me, they said, well, you know, by the time you get an attorney and you could just sign the contract and let us give everybody their money, and then you can do all the suing you want, which I never even mentioned suing, ever. I said, well, but that's the problem is I won't have any leverage after that. All I have is just accusations and, you know, a little bit of proof here, a little bit of proof there. I said, I'm not going to. He tried to talk me into it today. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he tried to interrupt me. I said, please don't interrupt me. I'm trying to tell you something. Please hang on just for a second, please. I said, I'm not going to do that because it's the only leverage I have right now. He didn't like that. He didn't say he didn't like it, but I could tell it wasn't exactly his favorite thing.
I bet it wasn't.
Yeah, I already knew that the attorneys were supposed to contact me. Carmen is saying, I told you the lawyers were supposed to contact you, all of you on the same at the same time and given all the same paperwork. But that's the problem is that my sister sent, I had the text on my phone from her in 2019 where she said, what's your address? We're going to send you the attorney stuff. And she never sent me anything. So you can see who's in cahoots here more and more all the time. My sister's not looking good at all. And my brother, they're in on it too. But they're in on it together. But she's the one who lives there and has been, right now, I'm not going to tell everything I did. But I sent her little pictures of people who don't look real honest. I said, this looks like you right now. You're not looking real honest right now. I said, I don't know yet, but we'll find out. I said, why don't you just send me the documents? Why don't you just get me the documents? If you've done everything right, just send me the documents. Well, because we don't even know where they're at. We don't know who has them. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how to do that. It's kind of funny to say it was all a bunch of bull, lying like a dog. And I'm airing this out in with everybody because I want to give God the glory for it. And those who have worked with my kinfolk behind my back, and I know who some of those people are, and my ministry friends and stuff, you might ought to get right with God pretty quick, because if you thought you was going to win this one and you'd be on the good side because they lied to you and you believe their lies, you're fixing to find out that Randy doesn't lie. Yeah, when I say somebody did something in any form or fashion, and especially if I say it publicly without their name or whatever I do, if I do something, it's because I have evidence and proof, and I don't lie. That's why I use that thing, Romans 9:1, Paul says, in Christ I lie not. That's why I do that. And those of you who have heard me say that and you still did your thing, believing their lies more than mine, more than my truth that I told, that it's not going to go well with you, I'm just going to tell you right now. If you're listening to this show tonight, it will not go well with you. You are under your own. You've got your own rope around your neck. I didn't put it around you. You did it yourself. You believed a lie, and it's going to cost you unless you repent. And then it's still, I don't know. I'm not God. I don't hang people, and I don't try to hang people. I try to help people get unhung. And so you might want to unhung yourself because I can't do it for you. The lawyer you use, the lawyer you have to be licensed at the state you are in having dealings with. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I got a Texas lawyer. The lawyer from Washington told me that I had to have a Texas lawyer. So, yeah, correct. Yeah, I already know that. Thank you for that, though. Appreciate that. But here's the thing, that the surprising thing is that if you're going to go through a will thing like I just went through, make sure that there was an executive appointed, because and I just thought it was automatic. See, that's how ignorant I am. I thought that my sister was automatically, you know, the executor of the state executor. That's what I thought. That's why she told me we're going to send you the paperwork. I thought, well, she's being the executor. She's doing her job. Right, that's what I thought. I thought that's just, you know, she has the power to do it, so I'm not going to mess with that. I'm going to trust God, right? And then I never even, when I never got anything, I just never said anything. I just went, well, you know, I trust that God's doing something, got it going on, you know. I don't really, you know, brought me a shotgun. Thank you for the shotgun. She could have brought me some plates and some forks and knives. I could have used some of those. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, so that's really what happened, and that's literally the truth. And, you know, if I say anything incorrect about all this, I will correct it. You know, generally overall, everything, it's fresh, so I've got it pretty fresh in my mind. But I may not be saying every exact word, but the overall truth of what I'm saying is applicable in this situation. So y'all are going to learn with me. Make sure that if you have go through a will thing, make sure that there is an executor that has been appointed. I didn't even know how to do that. I mean, I just thought it was automatic. That shows you how ignorance can, but at the same time, God used it to cause me to trust him. Because I believed a lie that there was automatically the eldest child is the executor. That's what I thought the law did. And I didn't know that. And she never, and that was never discussed. I didn't ask her, are you the executor? Until later when I said, you've been fired. And that's when she said, no, I'm in control. I'm going like, nah, you're laid off. That was, and then yesterday, I think I said you're impeached, because that's the official language that they use.
Right.
Some of it. Okay, y'all. Yeah. The executive, in my case, I didn't have one. So Carmen's saying the executive has the only voice is the rights of the others, but I didn't even have that. We didn't even have that. There was no executor of the estate, so that was my fault. But they're going to pay for it. They will. It's all looking like deliberate willful deceit. That's not proven. It's pretty well proven to me, and I'm pretty, you know, balanced on looking at things most of the time. I may not always be, but I'm looking at it, I think, pretty good, and got a pretty balanced look at everything. I meditated on it a lot. Never lose any sleep over anything. If some of y'all think, is he sleeping good? Yeah, I sleep really, really good. And so, you know, that's it. And we'll see. And if I said something, you'll hear me come on and correct it. Right now, I'm making sure I say and everything that it appears as though, and that's what it looks like. And the evidence seems to appear as that. That's why I'm saying it like that, because I know the legal language of that. And, it's just amazing. God has just shown me again, Randy, if I'm with you, who can be against you? I'm going like, yeah, are you going to really believe me now again? You're going like, yeah, Jesus, I'm trying to. It's really awesome. Thank you. You know, Angela, you've been a great partner on this tonight. Thanks I'm sorry. I think I got really wound up and kind of interrupted with some of your stuff tonight. I apologize. But I'm so excited. I appreciate you being patient with me and work with me on this. It's awesome.
It is. It's quite a story. Yeah, we'll be here to the end of it. So we're going to see how Randy triumphs over this.
I know. Wow. Yeah,
that's just
so.
Sad
it
they
like...
did you that way, though. You know, it really is. That your family would do you like
right.
that. It's really sad. But, you know, things we have to do. God gives us these battles for a reason. Like you say, he's preparing you for something else. This is just a small battle you're dealing with.
Uh-huh.
He's preparing you for greater. So
What makes it unique is that it's a family thing. The family thing makes it unique.
Right.
I mean, I've lost it. Mm-hmm. My family has never really agreed with me, and I'm not a perfect person. And I'm sure back in the day when I was whatever, I was probably a pain in the butt like Joseph. I'm sure that they just like, we got to get rid of him. He's like a pain in the neck. It's just, he's like a real idiot, you know, like let's get rid of. You know, I mean, I think I can identify with Joseph a little bit on that one, except Joseph was probably more right than me, I'm sure. But, you know, so I'm not saying that it's, but the thing is that, you know, I understand that if I was in their shoes, I might have done the same thing. And little by little, like a frog in the water, I would have been ripping my brother off, thinking that I'm doing God a favor, and just like Joseph's brothers did, they had it all justified in their head that we're doing God a favor by getting, he's such a pain. He thinks he's going to rule over us. Who does he think he is? I mean, this guy's an idiot. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't have him part of the family. He's embarrassing. He goes around telling people, oh, I'm going to rule over my brothers. Yeah, I had a dream. I said, my mommy and daddy, I'm going to rule over my mommy and daddy. He's insane. He's crazy. He's a nut jag. He's foolish. Let's get rid of him before he defames the whole family. And so that's how they were thinking. So would I do that? Probably. If I was in their shoes, I might do the same thing. So that's how I'm looking at all this. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying not to be – I keep my heart right for the most part, I hope, because I think that's how I think. I've been taught like that for years. Mm-hmm. My spiritual mother taught me that. Always judge yourself and think about what you could have done. She said she came from the Hitler – she came from Germany where Hitler was ruling. She escaped Germany, Hitler's Germany, when she was a child. And so she had a lot of information. She said, Randy, anybody can be a Hitler. Never forget that. Anybody can. You think you never would. Mm-hmm. No, I never would do that. And then you're going to find yourself denying the Lord, betraying the Lord, doing things that you said you'd never do. And you look back and go, anybody can be a Hitler. So always look at it as whatever body's being a Hitler to you or a Judas to you, that you could very well turn around and do the very same thing. And she says, approach everything like that. Always, and it'll help you a lot. That was some great wisdom, man. And she pumped that into me so heavy that I got tired of hearing it, but I'm glad she did.
Yeah, that's very good advice. That keeps you humble.
It keeps your heart straight, right? That's a good way to say it. Humble's a good way. I look at it like it keeps your heart straight. If you have that revelation, it doesn't mean you're going to mess up and not keep it straight. It means that eventually the revelation rises up within you and says, don't forget, Randy, you could be the same way. Don't forget, Randy, you could be the same way. So it keeps you from becoming a vindictive, judgmental, vicious person, which I'm sure I could be if I got angry enough and vindictive enough. I'm sure I could be the same thing and maybe worse. Grace. Karma says Grace. Jean says, your sister and my brother sound like a kindred spirits. I don't know, man. I don't know. Probably it sounds like it, but I think that they just really, I don't know how they got so caught up into that, that they thought they could take, you know, I don't know how much money they've taken. I know my brother got $40,000. They've admitted that. $40,000, just like they just whipped here. $40,000, you know, like make sure and get ready that shotgun. When I give you the $40,000, brother, can you get ready? Can you deliver that shotgun for that $40,000? Can you do that for me? Yeah. So my brother brings me the shotgun, and little did I know that how much money he was getting for that. I don't know. He must be a really good businessman because that's an awesome trade, man. Here, go shoot yourself with this, Randy. I mean, no, don't shoot yourself. I mean, shoot some deer. I didn't mean that. Yeah, you did. You meant it. He didn't say that. I'm just kidding. But I think they were thinking it. Go shoot yourself. Like Job's wife says, why don't you just shoot yourself and get it over with? Just shoot yourself, Job, and get it over with.
Gosh.
Yeah, I can relate. Jeannie says, I can relate with you. I can relate with you for sure. I went through a four-year hang on a second. I'm trying to read. Sorry about that. I relate to you. A four-year legal issue with my brother. It cost me $15,000 in lawyer fees. Unfortunately, my brother had power of attorney over dad's finances for 4 years prior to his death, as well as power of attorney over his medical. So so Bobby could hide any information from me that he wanted to, and also deny me access to lots of information. Even though I had found proof of some of his lies, it did no good legally. Yeah, see there, you see that? Did y'all hear that? That's Jeannie talking about the things she went through. I know she was going through that, and I recommended that she go try to find out, you know, because sometimes it's something. Here's the thing. It's not like it's the word of the Lord, but if somebody comes to me and says, you know, Randy, this thing is really messing. I think my sister or my brother really messed me around. I don't know. I can't prove it, but I know them pretty well and blah, blah, blah. And I can tell if it's really messing with them that it'd be worth going, getting an attorney or however, and finding a way to settle it in their mind. So I've recommended that with people before. Yeah, if it's really bothering them, and I'm not saying it's wrong to bother you. I'm just saying, I'm not saying people are whatever if it's bothering them. I say, you know, that's just the way life is. I'm a different kind of person. I think differently. I'm a servant of God, and I've been taught some really cool things by my spiritual mom and others that have really kept me from a lot of extra pain and suffering, I think. So I've been blessed and taught, I think, correctly about a lot of things that a lot of people didn't get that information like I got. So it saved me from doing a lot of things, and I was able to give my inheritance thing over knowing that, see, my grandfather's, my mother's stepfather and her parents, even her parents, and my dad's parents, they all had, you know, a little bit of money. My mother's stepfather had a barbecue place in Amarillo, Texas, one of the most popular barbecue places, maybe the best one in Amarillo, Texas. And Doug's Barbecue is what it's called, Doug's Barbecue. And had it for years, and he made lots of money in that place. Lots of money. And they passed that down. He only had two people to pass down. It was his two daughters. That was his real daughter, and then my mom, who was his stepdaughter. And there was money right there. And I even asked my sister about that. I said, there's no, she said there's no will. I said, well, what about happened to the money with Granddad Ball and all them? I said, didn't they have something? She says, oh, yeah. And then she never said anything else about it, and I never asked her anything else about it after that. So I'm thinking, like, they don't have a will. In the will, they should have had Granddad Ball's, you know, money. I mean, I know the guy made lots of money. You know, what happened to that? She says, yeah, it's true. They did have money from that. But, and then I never asked about, you know, well, where's my share? I never said anything. And I just, that's it. So it's kind of like when she told me, yeah, they had it, I kept trusting her, like, okay, they're gonna have to work, take some time and work through it and find it all and find a way to, but that's not what they were doing. They weren't doing that at all. She had, because I thought she was the executive automatically, I let them just go at it. And though they never contacted me, you know, with any information about any of that, about what was in the accounts or what was in the will, no attorney, no nothing. Who's only because I thought she was the executive. And I just told God, I said, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you. It's not that I trust them so much as I'm going to trust you to deal with this. And 3-4 years later, what happened? They couldn't sell it and finish it up, and now it's all being exposed by one little action that they could not do legally. They had to have me. And because of that, God says, see, I told you I'd take care of you. I went like, okay, that gun, man, you have to rub it in. Like, shoot. Anyway, all right, Angela, that's awesome, man. It's been great tonight. I'm like wore out in a beautiful way. I'm wore out because I've been going at this, and when I go so hard, I will text you for 7 hours straight if I got stuff I want to talk about. I've done it before. I've been doing this for several days now. To my sister and a little bit to my brother, and then researching everything, looking at all the documents that I finally got, and so I'm kind of wore out tonight, but I'm happy wore out. When the attorney called me today, and finally, because I was fixing to come after them, I let them know that I had an attorney and that I give them dates and I make sure I give them information, about everything in details. Like, I called you at this time on this date, and I'm going to have an attorney get a hold of you guys at this time, at this date. And if you guys don't respond to me, then we will move forward with this. And, you know, I've got an attorney now, so blah, blah, blah. And then what happens? The attorney calls me. So whether that was because I pressured him or he really was sick and couldn't get to me, it's possible. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because who cares anyway? Mm-hmm. Really, who gives a rip? I don't care. It's just all going to work out anyway. So, but I am wore out, y'all, in a happy kind of way.
I hear you. Well.
All right. Anything we can pray with you about? Okay. Anything we can? Yeah. It's awesome.
Whatever God has for you to give me tonight, I'll take it. And I've been, listening to your story has been quite inspiring. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. All right. Let's do that. Thank you, Angela. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for Angela. We thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing for her. Thanks for being a part of my story. Thanks for, you know, and if, like I say, if I've misunderstood anything about any of my people that I've talked about, I haven't accused anybody of anything for sure as far as a proven fact, but I say I've been saying very clearly, it appears as though, very much appears as though, and very much looks like, and I'm looking at it pretty clear-headed, like, you know, and I said, it all appears as though this stinks to high heaven. And the main reason was because is that they kept not giving me what I knew belonged to me. That's what made me really go, there's something wrong here, because that should be just, yeah, if you did everything right, even if you mess up a thousand here and a thousand there, okay, no big deal. Let's just let me see it, you know. You know, why I have a right to see it. No, we don't even know where it's at. No, we can't find it. We don't know. Who has that? We don't know. You don't know who has this. You got to be kidding me. Well, the attorney who did dad's stuff is dead. I'm going like, well, dead attorneys have records. You know, and so the guy that called me today, it was his dad that we're talking about. I said, you know, your dad probated the will, and yet y'all never contacted me. I said, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want to say everything. I've already said it once, but it wasn't good, and not making my family look good at all, and coming out of their mouth. And then the other lady that works with them told me that the real estate person, who is my sister's grandson, whose grandmother, the real estate person who's my sister's grandson, his grandmother, the real estate lady's grandmother, is a judge that sits on the court in Farwell. When she told me that, I'm going like, because she was warning me, better be careful, because Chase's, I kept saying mother, she said grandmother is she is a judge here in Texas, in Farwell, and you know what that means. I'm going like, and when she said that, I kind of went, you know, and all this is documented on text, right? And I texted back, and I thought it was funny. I didn't get mad. Well, that's the sorriest, stinking, stupid thing I ever heard about. I guess I couldn't read it exactly, but I said something to the fact that, oh, now we have a that's really great that you're, man, this is getting deeper by the minute. I love this stuff. You're the real estate person who's handling this stuff. Mother is a judge in Farwell, and I'm talking about going to the house, and I want to see the house, right? And you're threatening us, and she could just nail you. If you show up, we're going to call the police to look at the house. You know, like I told him I was going to bring if you don't give me the keys, I'm going to bring somebody who can unlock it for me officially, legally. And so they started saying I was threatening them. And so I'm like, oh, great. This is great. She's going to love to hear you saying this, Deb, because this is going to be a conflict of interest for her, and she's going to look really bad. And that's what I told her. She's going to look really bad. But I'm so glad you guys have that judgment. That's really awesome. But you know what? That's going to make her look really bad, saying she's going to protect her grandson for not communicating information that he was supposed to communicate, which is a documented fact that he didn't do that. Yeah, documented fact. I mean, he texted to me, and it's all documented, literally. I said, you're going to tell me that his grandmother, who's a judge, is going to protect him for something he did wrong and said it himself? You guys are crazy. You know, so like, y'all, I didn't say you're crazy. I said, you know, like, this is getting crazier by the minute. This is amazing. It's getting more amazing all the time. And so that's what I do. I countered it with, you know, hey, that's awesome. But, you know, isn't that a conflict of interest that you're accusing the judge of working in her grandson's behalf when he's done something wrong? I mean, isn't that, like, illegal? You know? And so it's, oh, what I meant to say was, and literally she said she changed everything. Oh, what I really meant to say was, I'm going like, yeah, I don't think you really know exactly. You better be careful. I told her, I warned her. I said, you need to be careful how you say things because some of the stuff you say is like, I'm making you look good. And I told her that literally. So she would be careful. And anyway, I'm supposed to be praying for Angela. Yeah, I know that. I'm going on. But yeah, because I'm talking to Angela too. But thank you, Jesus, for Angela. We thank you, Lord, for working things out on her behalf, God, doing things just like you're doing with me. You know, I gave up on that. I yielded that over. And I can say even all that's documented. You know, I just gave it to God. And, like, you know, so when we give things to God, and even though I literally just like Abraham, I offered up Isaac, it was done. It done in my mind, done in my heart. It's over. And I went on. And, you know, if they're going to do something, if they're going to give me what belongs to me, then they'll do it. If they don't, I'm not going to even mess with it because God is my inheritance. That's literally, I popped it on the show. Some of you have commented, you remember me talking about that, and I literally did. There's different ways to trust God. Like, some people or trust God, and they get an attorney and do something. There's nothing wrong with getting an attorney. Like, I'm getting one now, right? So I'm not against that. So people trust God in different ways. So just because you didn't trust God like I trusted God doesn't mean you didn't trust God, right? So please don't take that as you got to do it the way I did it for it to be God. It's not true. I'm not saying that at all. So please understand that. Sometimes I think I come across like that, but I really don't mean to be. You know, God speaks to every person. I've told some people to get a lawyer because if something's messing with them, and I'm feeling like that if they don't find out that it's going to really mess with them and cause them pain and cause them heartache, I will tell them, get an attorney and try to find out for your own good. And so it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing. So would God tell somebody to do get an attorney? Yes, absolutely. And, yeah, so, you know, everything's just according to what God says, not what we think is best for everybody. So thank you, Lord, for Angela, God, and for giving her wisdom on how to yield things over. You can't do it my way, the way I did it at all. It can be completely different. I could find out tomorrow. God tells me to tell everybody, go get yourself an attorney. Don't do what I did in this case, because what I did was God, and what you're going to do is God, and you're going to go after stuff. You're not going to do like I did. It could all be God. So, and whatever way you show her how to go at things, how to work things, how to yield things over, how to give things to God, that's the key to everything. Because when we do that, then when God does it, it's God that did it, whether it's through an attorney or whatever it is. Like in my case, you know, I just got really blessed in my particular case, and they couldn't make a move without me, and therefore I had control. Just like Joseph, when they showed up and needed food, you know, what gave Joseph control over his family, if you will, was that they needed food and they would have starved without him. They would have died without him. So he used it. He called them spies. He put them in prison. He gave them a hard time. He made them look like they were thieves. He literally made them look like they were thieves. Y'all remember any of that stuff? Go back and read it. He made them look like he gave him grain, and then he put some golden cups in there, and then had the guys go after him, knowing he put the golden cups in their grain. They didn't even know the golden cups were in his grain. They're on their way back to daddy, right? Back to promised land. And comes the, you know, some of Joseph's guys and says, somebody stole something. Well, nobody stole anything. He put it in their bags. And they said, oh, well, you know, we didn't do anything. What do you mean? So the guy said, well, we're going to find out. They cut the bags open, and sure enough, out falls these things that Joseph put in there because he had a strategy going on. And they were crying out, oh, God, we're being judged because of what we did to Joseph. Oh, my God, it's coming out everywhere. Oh, my God. And that's exactly, go read the story, man. It's very, you'd think he would just be nice and sweet and think, feel bad for him arrogantly saying, I'm gonna rule over you guys. You know, I'm going to be in control over you guys. And he ended up being in control of it. You know, but he didn't. He didn't do that at all. He worked a strategy because he knew them. He knew how what would take to get them to a place of repentance and to save them. And God put Joseph in control without him even doing anything. The famine put him in control, right, because he was grain. It's all about grain. All right, I'm going all over the place, y'all, because I'm really stirred up tonight, man. This has been crazy stuff and amazing stuff. And like I said, I'm tired. I'm really wore out in a very beautiful way about it. Yeah, Karma says insurance policies. Yep, cashed in bonds, investments. Yeah, all that. Yeah, they. That's what we're looking into. And yeah, Jeannie said I try to do what God told me all the way. I know you did. You never know what's going to happen. You never know. See, here's the thing, Jeannie. That like with me, in my case, it was different. Yours was God, mine was God. What you did is, I'm not saying, you know, I'm saying, you know, God was involved in that. God was involved in what I did, the way he had me do it. And what happened with me was, what came back was, in a short time, in 4 years of time, they finally decided to sell the house because it was, for whatever reason, to get a lot of profit off of it. And what happened was God knew the whole time that when they got to that point, they wouldn't be able to do it without me. And therefore, that would put me in control. And it did, literally. I'm in control. And I'm going to – I control a document. I'm going to get control of documents. I'm going to get my – if I have to get my attorney to go after everything, I will. I'm already prepared for that. If it costs me all the money I got coming, I don't care. Whatever money I have going, if it costs every bit of that to pay an attorney to do it, I'm going to do it. I will do that. I don't give, you guys know me, I'm not a money person. I don't give a rip about it. That's my money. I do whatever I want to with it. If I want to give it to a lawyer to expose everything and bring them to Jesus, you know, help them with that, whatever, if God allows it to happen, then I will do that. It'll be worth the price if God has me pay that. And I will gladly do that. And I promise you, I will do it if it takes that. I don't give a rip about that money. They try to, oh, she got cash, they said today. They turned, she's got cash, Randy. Don't you want the cash? Don't you want cash? You can have so much money right now today in cash by Thursday. I think it's Thursday. You can have that cash in your pocket, you know, thousands of dollars in your pocket. He already told me, he tempted me with that. It was very good strategy. But you know what? I told him, I said, I ain't got to sign nothing. You know what? I don't, you know, not do I need money? I always need money. But you know what? I'm not a money person, And therefore, God knows that. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a money person. I'm just not one. I guess maybe because of my calling, I'm not sure exactly. But, you know, they thought they'd get me with that. That's always the big thing. Oh, you're going to get some cash, but you're going to have cash out of the blue. Cash is going to fall down on your head. Don't you want to do this? I went, no. No, I said, I'm not signing. I told him today, this is literally what I said. I'm not signing nothing because that's my only leverage I have to get this thing straightened out. And it will get straightened out one way or the other. Well, it's going to cost you. See, what's the strategy here? Very good. He was very smart. Well, you know, by the time you get through paying, you're not going to have any money. You may not have any money left. You know, you're going to need like $20,000. $40,000. You might have some. You might not have any. I said, you know what? I said, hang on, Jeff, right there. Stop. That's not where it's going. I'm not signing nothing. We lose the sales, we lose all that. You know what? So be it. If I have to pay an attorney to get all this stuff, to get out into the open, I will do it. In fact, in my heart, it's already done. I already gave that money that's supposed to – I don't even know how much I'm going to get. I already gave it to God. So God, if it takes that to get this right and get it out in the open and bust their little butts from their nasty stuff and get them to get it right with God, that's what we'll do. And you know what? You don't mess with people like that, friend. You don't mess with people that don't care about that stuff, because that stuff you try to use to tempt them is the very thing that comes back to bite you. And that's what's happening right here, right now, baby. Get ready. Yeah, the truth is worth more than the money. That's what I decided. That's exactly the words, Jeannie, that I don't know if I told him that, but after I got off the phone with him, I said, you know what? because I was rethinking it. I'm going like, you know, the truth is better than the money. That's literally what I said, because like I said, you know, God takes care of me in different ways. I don't have an abundance of anything. He just takes care of me in different ways, you know, stuff. And so, you know, we gave, you know, all the money, 90% of the money back to you guys. If that don't tell y'all something, I know y'all say you don't have it in your hands yet, but let me tell you something, it's a done deal. On my end, it's done. That's over. That's in the hands, even though it's not officially been able to, we got to find the process and how we're going to do it and the timing and all that. Well, so if anybody here on PGN thinks that I'm out to get your money, you are definitely having issues. You've been definitely wounded by somebody, and it ain't me that has wounded you. You've been wounded by somebody else, and if you're thinking that about me, I know that in the natural it's easy to do that, you know. But with all the stuff that we've tried to be honest and open about around here, and you're still suspicioning me of being like some greedy whatever that I could name the names that some of you have called me. It's been very few, but there's been a few. Most of you are really awesome people, you know, and I know that. Yeah, most of you are innocent, but there's a few. And I'm not in judgmental. I'm not out to get anybody. I'm out to watch God take care of me. Mainly to have a Joseph story is what I want, for it to all be out right in the open, and we all live happily ever after and be blessed in Goshen land, or whatever you want to say, however you want to say it. That's my dream. I want that on my reputation. I want that on my resume more than I want, oh, he got $4 million because he did what God. I'd rather have the Joseph story on my resume than all that other stuff. And I know it may be hard to believe, but in Christ I lie not when I tell you. Do I like money? I like money. Do I need money? Everybody needs money. Do I want? Of course. But that's not me. And if you don't know that by now, you got a real big problem. A real big problem. You might not ask God to help you with it, because don't be putting that trash on me. That is not true. I'm getting sassy tonight, aren't I? Yeah. I'm just telling it like it is. And I love people. I know people have hurts and pains. I know people have struggles and battles. And if I could tell some of y'all what God has had me do for people that nobody knows about but them and me, then those of you who have that problem, that devil talking in your ear, it would shut his mouth, hopefully, so quick, it'd spin your head. Things that nobody knows but me and that person, that God said, I want you to take and just do this. And I went, you know, and I don't do that lightly. I do not do that. It had to be, God had to speak to me. And I said, okay, that's a lot of money. Whatever you say, Jesus. And like when he tells you, it's like it's a good idea when he tells you. You come up with it, it's like you struggle with it. But when God tells you, it's like, that's such a great idea. He's such a great salesman. Oh, yeah, man. Give all everything away. Yeah, that's a great idea. God, why didn't I think of that? That's literally what it's like. And it's you realize, you know, it's a blessing. So. Don't ever, you know, be careful that you point your finger at this boy. Narcissistic, some of the things people have called me. I forgive you, but I hope God forgives you. That's the main thing. And if you haven't got God's forgiveness and haven't dealt with it correctly, it will not go well with you. Not about going to hell at all. It's about heaven on earth and blessings on earth. If you obey my voice, do I say, I will bless you. If you don't, I will curse you. That's God saying that. That ain't me. And that's literally is the facts. So please humble yourself before God and get right before God. If God tells you to get right with that person and finish up the getting right, then you better do it. Because if you don't, you didn't finish up what God told you to. And that's going to cost you too. And I don't want anything to cost you anything. We want the Joseph thing around here. That's why we talk about it so much. I dream to be like Joseph, not in the fact that he ruled Egypt with Pharaoh. That's not what I'm talking about. I know where I'm going, and it has nothing to do with ruling Egypt, but it's a whole different thing. But that's already a done deal too, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm interested in people being restored, people being blessed. And if I've done something wrong, you know, I want to get that right too. Whatever it takes. That's my goal and that's my purpose as a shepherd of this ministry. And how big we are, little we are, then make it hillabies to me. If you can't take care of a few, then how are you going to take care of a lot? You know, and I don't want to take care of a lot. God knows. We had to appoint people to take care of people like Moses did. But whatever, I'm not interested in any of that. Nor am I interested in your money. So get over that. Very few have that problem, but there are some who still deal with that. It's okay. You are forgiven. And like I said, I pray God forgives you for, in other words, you get it right with God and keep it right with God. And it'll help you. You'll be blessed. All right, y'all. I think I'm just going to call it a night tonight. I know I have more callers, and I see people with their hand up. Thank you so much for being on tonight. I'm not sorry that I shared this. I feel like that God's going to use this as to help you. I'm not trying to shame my family. Y'all already know. I've already talked about my family and where they're at with me a long time ago. This is nothing new. It's just more added information where God is restoring things and hopefully restoring them. And if I've done things, if I mess up stuff, that God will help me get that right with them and whatever it is. With family stuff, you know, it's really, can you get really deep? So we're going to work on that. But right now, it's a Joseph story, and I'm in control with God. Me and Joseph are in control. And we're going to work it for the motive of what God wants, period. All right, that's it for me tonight. Sorry, and I'll see you guys with your hand up. And I appreciate it tonight, but I am done. This is awesome, man. What an awesome night. Thank you, God, for PGN. We give thanks to you for everything. We're not going to complain or dispute like we read tonight in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to give you thanks for everything. We're going to thank you. You're going to multiply, give us more wisdom when we need it. You're going to multiply us, increase us with the spirit of understanding to understand things. We can do them, and you're going to multiply and increase us with love and compassion for ourselves and for others. We can truly love ourselves and we love our neighbor as ourselves and truly be servants of God. I'm a far away from that, but I'm on the road. I'm definitely on the road, and it's a beautiful thing. So, all right, good night, everybody. I'm sorry I'm getting up a little early tonight. I'm like, since y'all kind of know what I've been going through, I'm not complaining about it at all. You can tell I love it. I love this stuff, but it's been intense, and I've texted for hours and hours for the last few days, several days, and the accusation things when they get in a corner and they can't get out, you know, and I tend to do that to people sometimes without realizing it. Sometimes I realize it, but then they come out fighting. You know, I just can't blame them, right? And start accusing you know, like, man, you shouldn't have done that. It's not good for you. It'll be bad for you. It's not bad for me. Personally, I just wash it right off. I go put a little shower and wash it off and move on. But for you, it's not good. That's where it's not good. All right. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.